Welcome to No Quarters, episode 15.1.
It's still a motherfucking video game podcast.
Still, always will be.
Well, maybe forever, not always, but
sure. No.
Oh, sorry.
Always.
And always. Forever.
It will never stop being.
Never stop.
No quarters needed, no quarter given. The No Quarters Podcast.
Wow, thanks for the tagline there.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
I've been thinking about that all day.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm Mackie.
I'm the Beach.
And I'm Harlow.
And we're here to talk your ear off about video games.
Yay! Yes.
I like video games.
You're mostly monthly installment of the lack of quarters.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
play some games.
Yes, we did.
I played some games.
All right. See you later.
thanks for
visiting. They don't care about hearing about if I played games.
All right. Let's talk about your games.
Yes. Dude, let's talk games.
Dude, where to start, man?
I'll start.
Oh, would you like to?
Well, I think I win in newest game, maybe.
Did
I win there? Spiderman?
Yes, the Spiderman.
Oh.
The Spiderman of Shattered Dimensions. His dimensions are then shattered.
Which thing?
What? That's what it's called. Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions.
All right.
There are many dimensions.
And they become shattered.
And they're all in pieces now.
Right.
Shit.
Who shatters them?
You do, kind of.
Alfred
Spider-Man.
Spiderman.
Sort of.
Like, I do me personally.
Yes,
I
do. You do. It was really bizarre. I looked at this game. What the fuck is Mackie doing in here?
You're like, I see your dimensions are fully intact.
Crash.
Let me fix that for you.
What do you think now, Spider-Man?
No, you...
Hello, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, your very quick prologue to explain the shattered dimensions is Mysterio.
Dropped the dimensions.
Rey Mysterio is in the game?
Yes, Rey Mysterio and the other wrestlers of the WWF and E and NCW. And
I'm surprised Activision paid for the license.
Yeah, they come in and he's trying to steal this tablet, which they go, blah, 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 tablet of whatevers. And Spider-Man's like, no, you can't steal that. And he pulls it with the web and they fight. And Mysterio like holds it up and... He does this punch into the tablet and it explodes into lots of little pieces, thus explaining why
their dimensions are shattered.
Video game world, you're going to be playing four different Spider-Mans.
It's pretty cool. Shattered dreams.
It's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
So basically, if you're not in the know, you have the Marvel 616, the Amazing Spider-Man, they call him in this one. That's voiced by Neil Patrick Harris. So that's the cool thing, is like all of the different Spider-Mans are voiced by different people who have played Spider-Man in various cartoons. So then you also have the Ultimate Spider-Man, who wears the black suit mainly to differentiate him from the Amazing regular universe. Mm.
He's pretty ultimate.
Yeah. Then you have Spider-Man 2099, Spider-Man of the Future, the only one that's not Peter Parker in any way, shape, or form. And finally, the kind of the wild card one is the Spider-Man Noir from a short-lived miniseries, basically.
It's the wild card.
Retelling Spider-Man if it was like in the 1930s and, you know,
Green Goblin
isn't so much like the Green Goblin anymore. It's like just kind of like a gangster new dude named Goblin.
Ah, Spider-Man, see?
In that one, they rewrite it that he's the one that killed
Shit him with atomic
Uncle
gun.
Ben. So
I believe
Wait,
you.
Anyway.
The Goblin is Uncle Ben?
Well, no, that he killed Uncle Ben in the noir universe and all this stuff. So anyway, so it kind of plays completely differently for each one of the universes. Amazing plays... mostly like all the Spider-Man games we've seen before. They let you get out of the city. You're not so much just swinging around the city with this as much. Mm-hmm. Like the very, very first level after the training is you are tracking down Kraven in the jungle. So it's kind of a jungly Tomb Raider-esque kind of setting, or Uncharted if you prefer.
That's cool.
And so you're kind of running around that, and you know, you still have most of the same abilities that they introduced in like Web of Shadows and the later Spider-Man games. Then it's kind of cool because you play that first, and then it says, okay, you know, play whichever one you want next. You know, pick your poison, if you will. You know, and I went for Noir just because I was kind of curious how that one played. And that one plays mostly like a stealth-based thing. He pretty much wants to stick to the shadows because he's not as powerful as regular Spider-Man. He's not a beat-em-up dude so much as he is, like, sneak around and drop down and pick dudes up at the web and haul them up and tie them up kind of thing.
Do they go, Fisher?
Yeah.
So he's like, where are you, Fisher? He's like the Batman of Spider-Man.
Yeah, it felt very similar to Arkham Asylum or Splinter Cell.
That's cool.
But, yeah.
Does he talk like this?
Yeah, that's kind of cool because, like, everyone's, you know, the voices are different. And the guy who does that one, I think, did the... trying to remember which one's which. I think the coolest one is they have the guy who did the Spider-Man voice from the old 1980s Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends is one of them. And I think he might be the noir dude. Okay. I could be wrong. No, I think he's the ultimate guy. Whatever. But
either way.
Yeah, the only one that you recognize the voice simply as a voice person is Neil Patrick Harris.
So is it basically like the noir is the stealth one?
Yeah. And then
like, is it different types of gameplay for each?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, each
dimension.
The closest is the amazing to the ultimate. The ultimate just gets a little bit more crazy with like the venom-y style, you know, tendril type of attacks and mm-hmm. things like that. And then the ultimate, or the, I'm sorry, the 29-9 is a little bit more, like they have some crazy like flying type of missions, you know, mm-hmm. where you have to like skydive and do all kinds of crazy fly through the air stuff. So.
Is it better than Just Cause's skydiving?
Hey, that's awesome. I love Just Cause's skydiving. Except for the, well, not the base jumping, but whatever.
Yeah.
No, so anyway. It's a pretty good game. And I'm enjoying it. I have not sunk a huge amount of time into it because I just got it last night. But I have played through the first two missions. So one amazing, one noir, and got a little taste for the other ones.
Would you say the first one was amazing?
It was pretty amazing. Yeah.
Were you amazed while you were playing it?
Yeah. So, and the other cool thing is, like, you can go back and replay anything if you want to just collect the hidden type of stuff, or they have these little challenges. Yeah, basically, they call it the Web of Destiny, and it's just basically literally this, it's sort of like this big web.
That's pretty intense.
This big web that opens up, and you see there's little tiny spider webs, and there's different little challenges at each one of the points on the web. And, you know, some of them are really simple, like, swing 5 times without touching the ground, you know, and another one will be like, you know, fling, you know, X number of clay pots at dudes. And the other one will be like, just beat 5 dudes or whatever, you know. So some of them are really simple. Some of them get a little bit more challenging, such as like finding a certain number of spider symbols. And then they have these hidden spiders, which are actual spiders on the level and things like that. So
are you destined to finish
that's it? That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the little challenges in Red Dead. Or is it just that you can do any of them at any time and it gives you credit for it?
Pretty much. Yeah, you can pretty much do them at any point in time. Cool. But like if you missed some of the spiders, you can just go back and play certain parts of the level. And then they have costume unlocks and all kinds of upgrades you can do. You know, character upgrades and combat upgrades, that standard kind of thing. But if you like the Spider-Man games, like I said, it seems like a natural progression from Web of Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slightly better in certain parts. I haven't found the lack of polish that some people I think are complaining about because, you know, Activision is the way they are and
mm-hmm.
games have to get out on this date. You know, screw polish.
We're making Labor Day or you guys are out of a job. Yeah.
So, but yeah, so
if
far
it sucks,
so good.
We'll just patch it maybe.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, so far so good. I like it. But anyway, cool. I probably liked Web of Shadows a lot more than a lot of people did because that did not review very well.
Yeah. So it's fine.
Yeah. That's my take on Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Yep.
Cool. Awesome, dude. Yeah.
Is that the only thing you've been playing?
No. Do you want me to talk about
it? I played some game.
Yeah.
What game did you play?
I played a whole lot of Dead Rising 2K0.
Ooh. I saw you play some of that.
Yeah. That's right. You were over to check it out.
I enjoyed watching you play some of that.
Yeah. Like,
how much longer did you stay after I left?
I left at like 3:45 or something like that.
So it was pretty late.
I just slumped on the couch.
And okay.
I basically went through the entire DLC. Or not DLC. But yeah, it's more Dead Rising. If you did not like the original Dead Rising, you're probably not going to like this. Though I will say I like that they've replaced the photography mechanic that was in the original with basically...
Thrown it out.
Yeah, it's basically gone because you're not a journalist who's covered wars anymore.
I've covered wars, you know.
Yes.
I drive you a Dodge Stratus.
Yes.
Can I finish?
You have traded in your Stratus and your camera for a motorbike and basically a thing of duct tape so that you can make your own weapons. Because it always makes the duct tape sound when he throws the stuff on the bench to play
tape and WD-40.
Yep. I don't know. He does some weird stuff in that animation that doesn't quite look right.
I just love his smirk at the end, though.
Yes.
Like, that makes it worth it, is Chuck just gives this smirk, like, I just made something
his
awesome.
His slightly douchey smirk.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
With his
frosted
tips and everything.
Yeah. But No, I mean, you get to make some really cool weapons. Like, you'll find, like...
I forgive any and all douchery he may possibly have because of the end game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it starts out, there's, like, a bat sitting next to the bench, and there's a box of nails on the floor, you know, and it's like, oh, I wonder if I can put some nails in this bat.
Hey, how about a nail bat? Yeah.
So, of course, he makes the duct tape sound, gives the douchey smirk, and so
there's no duct tape involved, and suddenly you have
a bat full of nails. And it's like, awesome. And then you go forth and you...
Bat people.
Yes, you hit zombies in the forehead with a bat and then kick their chest to yank it out of their head while blood sprays everywhere.
I approve. I wholeheartedly...
If you're in a zombie game, that's exactly what you want to do.
I wholeheartedly approve of all of the make-your-own weapons.
Yeah, that's the thing that has me super excited about the real game, about the full experience of Dead Rising 2 is being able to make just like shitloads of stupid stuff.
Like the shock rake, whatever they call the shock rake.
The rake. The Shrek?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. The rake hooked up to a car battery.
Yeah.
It doesn't operate like you use it once
and it's really good. And then every time after that, it just gets worse and worse and worse.
I don't know. I thought
it was fun. It's a good crowd clear.
When there's a big group of zombies and you're just shocking the shit out of a bunch of them with the rake.
I was making a Shrek joke.
Oh.
I see what you did there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was fun. I just wish there had been something somewhat similar to the put the frying pan on the stove and then hit guys in the face with it and watch their face burn off. Like, I wish they had done something similar to that with the rake where the guys would just like, you know, turn to ash or something stupid like that. But
that would have been cool.
Yeah. Or if it had just burned them in some way, but
or head explosions.
Yeah.
Like scanners or something.
Well, you do the head explosions when you throw the queen down and smash that.
Yeah.
Which is always awesome. One of the best parts of the first game, but I was a huge fan. I'm like one of the few huge fans of the original Dead Rising, and they've improved stuff, but it's basically the same game. If you really hated Dead Rising, your chances are you're really going to hate this. So, you know, buyer beware, obviously, but I do like how they handled this because it feels Case Zero feels like DLC for the game that comes out before the game. Because I know there have been people who complain, oh, they're charging $5.
Should have been a demo.
Shut $5 for the demo. But to me, they've given you more than $5 worth. You know?
Yeah.
I would have paid $10 and been completely satisfied and wouldn't complain a bit about it.
From what I've seen, it plays pretty much like DLC. I mean, it looks like the polished game.
Yeah. And it really gives you the full experience of playing Dead Rising, unlike the way the original demo for Dead Rising did. Because I think the original demo was like, here's 30 minutes, have fun, which was kind of cool, but it was so limiting in that.
Yeah. I don't think you couldn't go outside, you were pretty much just in the food court or whatever.
Yeah. That's such a time-based game and they've maintained all that, but at least this lets you experience, okay, here's what happens when it turns nighttime. They're going to be harder to kill. And you know, if you waste too much time on this, you're not going to be able to save this person. And you know, all those sorts of little touches that, you know, that give you the full experience of what the game's going to be like. And it's a really good way to say, okay, you know what? I spent $5. It wasn't that much fun. I only spent $5. It's not like, hey, I bought the game. Oh God, why did I do that? You know? So
buy the demo.
Yes.
I mean, DLC. I mean, prequel.
Case Zero.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm really...
Case of Zero.
I am very excited for the real game. For sure.
I'm marginally excited for the real game.
You're marginally excited to borrow the real game from me? That works. Yeah, I've already pre-ordered the Zombrex edition, which apparently is the...
And I canceled my pre-order.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
He's an idiot, folks.
Yeah.
You'll learn.
Well, I mean, it does... They've got multiplayer in the game, don't they?
I do not know this.
I believe they do.
Well, not co-op, but multiplayer. I think they've got, like, humans versus zombies type of...
Boo.
Yeah.
Co-op.
Where totally it's ripped off Left 4 Dead.
Right.
Oh, man.
Except for all the everything.
Except for being completely different, except for the zombies.
Right. It's exactly like it, except it's completely different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And I was actually...
Well, is Left 4 Dead even really zombies, or are they just...
No, they're zombies.
Are they zombies? Yeah. Well, these are bee-infected or something.
Yeah.
Well, there's...
But they're still zombies.
Whatever.
That's like arguing the 28 days later things are not zombies.
Yeah. Whatever. It's
no, they're not zombies. They don't shamble.
Yeah. They don't want brains.
Yeah. But this is definitely, I mean, I pre-ordered the Zombrex edition, which gives me all a bonus disc and tchotchkes that come in a little nice package.
I love limited edition or
yep.
special, I love like, tchotchkes.
Yeah, apparently on the official Capcom store has the high stakes edition, which gives me a chance to win a 6 foot tall zombie, which is awesome because he's wearing like a Hawaiian shirt and he's carrying fuzzy dice around.
Not an actual zombie, just a statue of a zombie.
Oh, that's what you think.
Versus, which are going to show up.
If I were to win this thing, you'd better pray you see my eBay auction within a week.
Right.
Or else you'd see my girlfriend on match.com within a week, most likely, but you know,
which can get online faster. Yeah,
it'll be a race, but no, I'm sure she'll find a place. Well, for
since
it
she's
in my
already
garage.
On there, it won't take much.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I mean, it's a fake profile that I set up just to fuck with you, but you know,
damn it. No, but, I won't be paying the $89.99 for that version, even though it has some extra DLC stuff. And it's got a pretty cool, like poker chip set. Deck of cards, which I could combine with my Fallout New Vegas limited edition poker set.
I'm already gonna have cards. That poker set that I will never use. So,
yeah, Vegas is like the
The Vegas is the new New York.
Yeah, true crime Las Vegas.
Yes,
watch it happen.
Yep,
authentic maps where there's only basically one big street to go down and a few.
Hey, there's two. You can go down
somewhere. There's their cheap ass hotels.
What's the other one?
What, like where the old...
Yeah, the old...
Binion Horseshoe.
Yeah, what's the name of the street?
I don't remember now.
Fuck, I'm stupid.
The old strip.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah.
Fremont Street.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't wait for Dead Rising 2.
Yeah.
That
I'm going to go and get the K-Zero just to know how it controls, because I never finished Dead Rising 1. So,
not many people did.
I got about 2 hours into it.
Yeah. I got kidnapped by the cult guys and actually got out of there, which I think would have been a good point to say, fuck this game. But I made it through there and got the broadsword. So that was kind of cool. But then,
broadsword.
Yeah. I mean, the broadsword basically sold you on Dead Rising 2 anyway.
Pretty much, yeah.
When I went into the hardware store and came out brandishing a broadsword, well, dropped the guy in half.
There was a whole rack of broadswords.
Yeah, like every hardware store.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know.
Well, actually, obviously. It was a sporting goods store.
Oh, yeah, sporting, yeah.
But when you can chop them in half both horizontally and vertically.
Yeah, the vertical slice was what pretty much did it.
Yep.
It was like, yeah, wait for it.
Oh, bisected, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, if I went through, got all 200 points out of that, you know, took the time to get all the 12 achievements, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I guess I now have a level 5 character with like 50 grand worth of money.
Woohoo!
Whenever the actual game comes out,
50,000 worth of money.
Yes, 50,000 money.
Space dollars.
Microsoft Space Bucks.
Oh, I wish I had 50,000 Microsoft Space Bucks.
You guys you'd never see me other than on live if I had 50,000 space dollars.
I wonder if you could spend all, like, well, probably Rock Band.
Yeah.
Rock Band would clear it out.
I think you've already spent 50,000 space dollars on Rock Band.
I've only spent like 40,000.
Yeah, it's fine. Please enlighten our audience as to how you have your memory units set up, because I find that I find that genuinely pretty hilarious.
Oh,
and frightening.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that Microsoft made the whole USB memory unit thing now, because I have two 16 gig sticks, one of which is called the Rock Band memory unit. It only has 1.6 gigs free.
Yep.
There's nothing else on it but Rock Band DLC. Granted, that includes Green Day Rock Band, Lego Rock Band, and...
Original Rock Band. Yeah.
So I'm just kind of hoping...
So that's three and a half, 4 gigs.
Yeah,
like that.
And then a shit ton of other songs from...
So when the Rock Band 3 comes out, you're pretty much going to have to pick some things to take off of there, right?
It depends on how much Rock Band 2 exports.
I'm pretty sure it's going to export. I don't think they're going to make
mistake. It'll export everything, but like Green Day and Lego were only like 1.2 gigs apiece.
Really?
I mean, it's not as much as you think.
Because
I think the song files and whatever other assorted stuff that's with them doesn't add up to as much as you'd think it would.
Oh.
Because it's, it's not like it's exporting all 5.6 gigs of the,
then I guess,
you know.
I guess you just have that many songs that I'm not privy to, because I'm just wondering how you can fill up a 16 gig drive with nothing but mostly DLC songs in that case. Because, I mean, if you're telling me that like 3 gigs for give or take 3 games or so, right? Or maybe 4.
Well, yeah. Five. Well, I mean, yeah, it's basically works out to about 4 gigs for Rock Band, Lego, and Green Day.
Okay.
So
the rest is all DLC. Yeah.
He's bought all of it.
Apparently.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, I guess I bought like 10 gigs worth of DLC.
Well, not all of it, because I don't think I'm going to go find, like, you know,
none of the Rock
Kenny
Band
Chesney
network,
or, you know, yeah,
and, country packs and anything like
that. I snuck into his house and bought that for him.
Anything with, like, my arms and legs are going to fall off drum tracks, you can forget that.
Right.
To, like, that bullshit Avenged Sevenfold stuff and all that crap, forget it.
Right.
You won't have that. Megadeth, sorry, didn't buy it. So I have that stick in there, and then I have my other 16 gig stick, which is just like, here's my saves. So it's called Mackie's Gigantic 16 gig stick.
Awesome.
Yeah. So there.
I think there's a dick joke in there somewhere.
That's my setup, along with the hard drive, which my 120 gig will eventually be replaced with a 250, because I'm probably going to end up buying a
new Xbox. A new Xbox experience.
Yeah, well, what happened is my...
What happened?
I've had my wireless bridge since my original Xbox days, so I've had it at least 6 years now, and I think it's dying, because I've been getting disconnected a lot, and I thought it was my router, but I've got a new router, and yeah, it's not the router. So,
see, I thought you had the actual wireless adapter proper.
No, it's like a D-Link adapter, like before, you know, from the original Xbox days, where it was like, yeah, you can't really get anything but a bridge. And back then, I didn't know shit about routers, really. So I didn't know, like, to, you know, buy certain ones and then use Tomato on them and all that sort of, you know.
Tomato? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tomato firmware and, right, like, a wireless bridge. Right. You know, I didn't know all that stuff back then, so.
You know what I did? I just didn't get online with my original Xbox. Or if I did, I wired. I used,
dude,
to have, like, a 60-foot.
Crimson Skies.
I used to have a 60-foot Cat 5 cable that I would drag across the house.
You're pushing it, man. You're pushing it.
Anyway. I had that as well, but then I said, you know what? Wireless might be easier for my life.
Maybe.
And it was.
I use my desktop computer as a wireless bridge. It works marginally well.
It's a smart man.
Mm.
It works well enough.
Yeah, well enough. Yeah. So, BJ.
Yo.
You've been playing some video games?
I have been playing some video game.
What video game?
Red Dead Redemption.
Ah, nice.
It is quite enjoyable.
A favorite of No Quarters.
Yes. Pretty much.
It gets our seal of approval.
It does. I don't want to ramble on too much about it, because I mean, a lot of you out there in listener land have probably played it or know somebody who did, and they've already talked your ear off
or
about
heard,
it.
Or heard me and Harlow talk their ear off about it.
I really like it. I'm really enjoying it. I think I'm getting close to the end now, and I'm looking forward to it. I kind of have identified, maybe not identified a lot, but I've sympathize and kind of role played in my head a lot of this game, and I'm getting to the point where I want to shoot everyone in the fucking face because all they do is take. They never give me anything. You know, like, I, you know, quash a revolution, fix this, fix that, shoot this guy. I've probably shot about 1,000 people for random assholes,
mm-hmm,
and they don't,
got nothing to show for it.
Got nothing to show for it. I got a nice horse. I got some nice guns, you know, but I...
Do you have one of the, whatever the upper fast tier horses is?
Yes, I do. I have a Kentucky Saddler.
Is that the whitish one, or is that the black one?
Golden.
Okay, yeah.
The gold one. Yeah. I actually randomly found, like, I saw that and I was like, that looks like a cool horse, lasso. And then, oh, you've broken a rare horse. But no, I randomly found that, and then I lost it, and I had to raise $500 so I could buy a horse deed from the store, and so I bought the horse deed, and right now I thought I had found one of the black horses, but it turned out to be just kind of dark brown and grayish, and I've been riding that around for a while, and it kind of sucks. I don't know where to find the black horse. Perhaps he's under the cherry
tree. It's in Mexico. It's outside of that one town.
Oh, that one town in Mexico?
Well, there's like the one biggish town in Mexico.
Escalera?
Like, sure.
The one all the way on the west?
That sounds about right.
Sure.
Okay. I honestly don't remember the names. So
okay, but yeah, I got my horse, got a bunch of guns. I'm ready to pretty much kill the bastards that are kind of telling me what to do right now. Because like I said, it feels like the entire game, it's been people just fucking with me and not giving me what I want. They've just been leading me on and leading me on and leading me on. And if it were possible to do so and still complete the game, I would want to shoot these people very hard.
Sweet.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah, Rockstar does a good job of that, of like giving you characters and making you feel something for them, as far as like usually hatred for the guys that are just screwing you over.
And that's pretty much what everybody is doing in this game to you, is screwing you over somehow.
Yeah.
But at least I'm kind of getting back at the society as a whole by cheating my ass off in poker.
Nice.
I do nothing
that's
but cheat
in poker.
That's
the only way to play poker in this. In that.
Pretty much. I've gotten caught cheating a couple times, which is always fun.
I've gotten caught cheating every time I've ever tried.
That's because you suck.
Apparently I do.
You are the worst cheater ever. I'm pretty good at it, I guess. But I don't know. Every once in a while I slip up and get caught, which is always fun because I get to shoot somebody. And I appreciate being able to shoot somebody.
They should probably punish you more than that. Not let you do something you enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know. Oh, no, don't throw me in the briar patch.
Well, didn't you say it takes your money away or something like
that? I think it does take the money that you used to buy into the poker game. I think it does take that money if you get caught cheating, so you don't get to keep any of your proceeds. But, fuck, I get to shoot a guy. I like shooting guys.
And that
I like,
makes it all worth it.
Pretty much. I like to embarrass the guys that want to duel me by shooting them in the hand.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, you know, rather than kill them right out, I just, you know, like,
I'm you'd, so you'd much rather better embarrass than you. Them in front of everyone.
You're a bitch, and everybody on the street of Great Plains City knows how big of a bitch you are, you bitching bitch that bitches.
Oh, have you been playing online?
Actually, no. I'm kind of curious about the online experience, like the multiplayer. I wanted to get into some of that, but I want to get through the story and find out what happens, which is kind of cool to me that I actually want to find out what happens in a story rather than just plod through the game and finish it.
Like, I need to finish this just because, but no, yeah no,
I want to finish the story. I want to see where it goes, and
as well you should
probably find out that they've murdered my family and, you know, they've set my farm on fire and I'm going to have to kill everyone in
it
the
is a lot like
city.
A country song.
The whole game is
your dog
kind of
ran away.
Yeah. So I can't tell you how badly I want to shoot the dogs in town because they remind me of like coyotes or wolves.
Aww.
And I'm like, they're going to get me every time I hear the stupid dog bark. I'm like, oh, gotta fucking shoot that dog. I haven't done it yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. I'm still role playing role playing my character.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gone on any wild shooting sprees really. I haven't put the bandana on and, you know, pillaged or anything.
Yeah. As probably the resident big time GTA fan around here, like how do you think this compares as far as those go?
I give a damn about the characters and about the story more at this point in the game than I have with others. Like with GTA 4, it kind of towards the beginning of the game, you know, I was really into it and, you know, thinking, oh yeah, I get the American experience from the immigrant's point of view. And I was getting into the story and role playing the character. And then I don't know, about 20 missions in, I was like, just fuck it. Let's just blow shit up and get the fuck out of here. You know, I liked the story. I didn't dislike it. I wanted, you know, I did like to see where it was going, and I don't think it was a bad story or at all. Cause I think I've talked up how much I like GTA 4, but, it's a little bit more compelling. The gameplay isn't as wide open. There's not as much, you know, stuff to do in general. It's kind of a smaller, less dense universe, or it's a less dense universe, not necessarily smaller. But you know, I think it kind of is Grand Theft Horse, but the way I've been playing it is just totally different from the way I'd play a GTA game. Like I play a GTA game, you run off and you run around, you shoot up the city, you drive all over the place, running pedestrians over. In this, I kind of keep to myself and, you know, do my horse riding a lot. I actually don't do a lot of the fast travel stuff. I like to ride across the country and just ride.
You'll hit that point.
I'm what I guess is kind of far into the game, and I'll fast travel every once in a while if I'm just trying to get something done. But for the most part, if I have to ride across country, I just ride across country. I kind of enjoy that, like just riding out and looking at things, and the landscape is really cool. So I pay a lot more attention to the small stuff in this game than I do in the GTAs.
Yeah, I felt that for a long time, but then I hit that point where it's like, okay. Yeah, it just as I've said before, it just became a hassle where it was like, just everywhere you rode, hey, someone stole my horse, hey.
Oh, you just ride past those assholes.
You know what? I would try and like run away from them, and those assholes would track me down.
Some of those people will follow you for a long time. Like,
yeah, they will not take no for an answer. And then,
when you shoot them.
Yeah. And you lose honor.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
What kind of role playing are you doing?
Hang on.
No. I am getting to the point where I'm kind of like just tired of everybody asking me for everything. So I am ignoring people.
Yeah.
My honor's as high as it'll go already. And I'm like, I'm kind of sick of society as a whole. So I just ride past most of those people unless I can see a monetary gain in my future.
Fair enough.
Trying to do all those stranger quests. Man, that's difficult. I got to find some beavers.
Oh, you're on that one. Yeah, that one.
I don't know where the fuck the beavers are. I got to find some beavers.
They're up north.
Up north.
Head north, young man.
Yeah. I think I was talking to you guys about it. I was looking for boars. Finally found some boars. I was excited about that. They're assholes. They killed my horse.
Oh, yeah, they are. Imagine there's actually one area where you will find boars and bears like in close proximity. Oh,
Up in the forest.
That's rough.
I got knocked off of a cliff. There's that part where you go up the cliffs in the snowy area. I got knocked off a cliff by a cougar.
Oh.
The cougar knocked you off the cliff?
Knocked me off the cliff. Yeah, you know how the cougars do the leap thing at you and knock you all over the place? Knocked me off the cliff.
That son of a bitch.
Fucking cougars. And then I encountered a bear.
Oh, fuck, it's a bear.
And shot him in the face with my shotgun. One shot. I was pretty pleased with that.
Yeah.
Wait, you killed him?
Yeah, one shot.
No kidding.
That's the first bear that I saw. I was like, fuck this bear up, motherfucker. I'm like, I'm not going to get bitch slapped by this bear. So I hopped up, like climbed up on the cliff and he came after me. So I hopped down and pulled out my shotgun and I hopped back up and he came at me and I just...
Well, I understand that this is an audio podcast and we can't properly recreate this, but you should have seen the look of shock and awe that was on BJ and I's faces when Mackie told us that you could lasso a bear. That this never occurred to us.
I tried that. That was a bad idea.
Really?
Yeah. I tried that with that bear that was like, I hopped up and I'm like, da, 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 da. Oh, fuck, a bear, bear, lasso the bear. Okay, lasso the bear. You can lasso the bear.
He doesn't stop. He rears up and that's when you run and stab him in the heart.
He didn't rear up. He just came and slapped me in the face. And that's the point where I was okay.
Keep in mind, I had injured him enough for him to run away. So that might have been the difference when I did it.
Whoops.
Yeah. Mm. That is how I got my bear stabbing achievement.
I just took
raw
bear and tried to lasso
him. I was considering doing that. And then I was like, I need to work on the other hunter quest before I go try to stab a bear.
I thought it would be a great idea. You know, I lasso the bear, he rears up, and then I shoot him in the face. It's one of the, it's one of the challenge things, you know, is to kill three bears with one shot apiece.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
And so I thought, hey, lasso the bear. He rears up. I switched my shotgun. Bam! Eat that, bitch! No, he wasn't having it. He wasn't having any of it.
You must not have switched to your gun fast enough.
No, I lassoed him, and he hadn't reared up yet.
Oh, were you in Deadeye when you
lassoed him?
Yeah.
No.
Were you in Deadeye after you lassoed him and then tried to shoot him?
Was there Deadeye involved at any point?
Nobody
told me about the Deadeye thing.
What?
You didn't tell me to do the Deadeye thing when I lassoed the bear.
No, you can't do Deadeye when you're stabbing anyway. You gotta have a gun.
Well, all right. I lassoed the bear, right? Then the bear walked up and slapped me before I could do anything else.
I guess you had to injure the bear a little more before you tried to...
Fuck you, and slapped
me. Fuck you and your rope.
Yes.
I'm a bear. I don't give a fuck about rope.
I'm getting the fuck quotient up, by the way.
Okay, that's good.
So that we've been kind of not swearing for a while.
Yeah.
So.
But then I decided I wasn't going to take no shit off of that bear, and I went and met him with my shotgun in his face, much to his demise.
A meet and greet?
Yes.
It was like an ice cream social full of lead.
Right, pretty much.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah.
I put the hurt on that bear after he put a little bit of a hurt on me. But, yeah, that's pretty much the exciting stories I have from Red Dead.
Red Dead.
Yes.
Now that I have it back, maybe I will have some more stories to share at one point in time, because now all I have left is to do is stupid shit, like it's trying to stab bears.
It's emergent gameplay.
Lassoing, stabbing bears.
It is emerging all over the place.
The bears are
emerging. I didn't find any more bears. I looked for more bears. I wanted to shoot bears, but I could not find them. I tried to bait bears, and a cougar found me. My horse.
There's plenty of bears when you get to a certain point.
I was bragging the other day about the fact that my horse had not been cougared yet. And when I played the other day, after talking about that, my horse got killed by a cougar. It was a crappy horse, though, so I was okay with it.
No, well, that's a good thing, man.
Oh, so you have a deed. It really doesn't matter which horse.
Yeah.
Responding horse.
Yes, that's about it. Big time seal of approval on Red Dead. I would buy it if I wasn't borrowing it.
Well, that's a mark of quality right there.
Yes.
Undeniable. So
what else has been played? What? I think Mackie completed a game.
Oh yeah.
Dude, I beat Splosion Man.
Splosion Man!
With all the cakes.
Cake?
Yeah, holy crap, dude.
Difficult? I mean, I know it's...
You could say that, yes.
I know it's tough, but it... I don't know, is it, like, difficult on the level of our multiplayer experience difficult, or...
Kind of, yeah.
Like, that kind of frustrating?
Well, in beating it, I realized that it shows all the fun that can be had in trial and error gameplay, but it also shows how much trial and error gameplay can really, really suck. And that game, it's got so much of both, where it's only frustrating to me because it's like, okay, you just finally got by this section of, okay, you had to jump over this while the water's coming down and you had to time this perfectly and get to there. And then, yeah, you see the checkpoint up there. Oh, no, you're dead, because we put a gun right there and it shot you and knocked you into the water, and now you're dead. So now you got to do all that over again.
Now that you've gotten lucky and made it to this point.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
I'd just like to say that other than the gun, you're giving my review for Trials HD too. So continue on, please.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Take out the gun. Yes, go.
Yeah. But it's just like, okay, yeah, now I hope you remembered what you
just
did.
Just when you thought it couldn't get worse.
Yeah.
There's a turret.
I mean, there's some where it's just like, I don't know. It feels like they did play testing and they were just like, okay, how far can a normal human get before they just start getting pissed off? And they go, okay, he can get to about here. And they go, all right, we want you to put the checkpoint 20 seconds past that. So you just have to like have superhuman patience for some of them. And like the very last, not the very last level, the last level is a boss fight, but the very last exploration level, that level is holy fuck. It's just like you free fall through part of it while there's all these purple lasers. And if you
have to like explode to keep yourself from falling and move around the lasers.
Kinda.
Okay.
Yeah. And eventually you hit those little jets that'll refuel your guy, but you have to time that. You have to time when you hit a wall so that you can jump off the wall, mm-hmm. You know, just ludicrous stuff. I mean, and that level is really long too. And it's really far between the checkpoints. And I couldn't tell you how many times I played through that one. And some of them just in World 3 that are just...
How many rage quits?
Not as many as you'd think, because I kind of paced myself. I was like, all right, I'm only doing like one or two levels a night.
I mean, just for that last level.
None, but I think my final time was like 25 minutes.
The Mackie seal of approval, no rage quits.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, there are some of those levels on 3 in World 3. My time is like 20-something minutes long. I mean, it's ludicrous how long it took me to beat some of those levels. But then the final boss level is, you basically, there's no checkpoints in it, and you got to do a whole bunch of things with fairly exact timing and to finally beat it. And that one took me forever, too. That one, God, it was like 2 in the morning by the time I finally beat it. But I got to say, the way the closing cinematic plays out made all of it worth it. Like, that was one of those where it was like, I know I've already stated before that if I ever meet any of these guys, I want to punch them in the face for some of those levels. Like, whoever designed like 2.5, I want to just punch that dude. Like 3.12, I think it was. I want to punch that guy.
I find it hilarious that you're actually remembering the numbers. But I guess when you see it that many times.
Yeah, when you've played that, when you've played those levels that many times. But like seeing the final cinematic just made me go, okay, I don't want to punch you guys as much in the face.
Just want to punch you softly in the face.
No, I wouldn't slap them. I'd still punch them. I wouldn't punch them to death.
Okay.
So
like single punch, just a good pop in the nose.
Yeah. And be like, all right, now we're cool.
Yeah.
But that made it worth it. And the best part is after that, it's like, you know, it plays, the whole cinematic plays out, which is awesome. And don't ruin it for yourself by going on YouTube. It's worth it if you've actually played through the game it's kind of like you've earned this. This is why this is awesome. But after that, it shows up a little pops up a window that says, hey, yeah, awesome job. You beat Splosion Man. Now you've unlocked hardcore mode, where basically there are no checkpoints. And if you get hit by anything once, you die. And then after that, it says, understand, this mode sucks. This will be hard. You will hate the game. You will hate yourself. You will throw your controller. You will break things. So you probably just shouldn't bother. Hit A to continue.
And you did?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
No lie.
I got up to about level 110, I think it was. And then I was like, okay, I got to put this away. Because I made a rule for myself. I was like, if I have to retry a level more than 5 times, I'm done. And got to say, like, once you've beaten Splosion Man, going back to like the early levels is nothing. It's like, oh, this is easy. Oh, that's easy too. So some of my times I just fucking blitz through those. Like one of the levels, like my time is like 1:04, I think. And my time before that was like fucking 17 minutes to beat it. Now it's like, oh, 1:04. Done.
Done. Next.
Yeah. Done. Moving on. But now, so I don't know. Like the early levels, yes, I can't. Like, I think of some of those later levels in World 3 and I'm just like, there's no fucking way. So, yeah. Explosion Man. I beat it.
Still worth it.
I feel awesome for having beaten it, I gotta say. I do want to do like multiplayer now.
I think it's got to be same room multiplayer.
Yeah, I think we got
to
do it.
Trying to do it over live is just too tricky.
Yeah, the lag was just
brutal.
Like ever so slightly off, or was it bad?
It wasn't. No, it was off enough.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And it requires much more precise timing than you can, I think, get without a really good internet connection.
Yeah. So I think same couch is the way to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of same couch co-op.
Oh.
Dude.
Well, here, let me throw in my two cents more about Trials.
Oh, just Trials.
Yeah, that's one of the other things I was playing.
Trials HD. Sorry.
Almost the exact same review. I know it's a year old, but then I should have bought it when it was on sale, but I never even demoed it with the... It was even right before the Summer of Arcade. They had that on sale, right?
Yeah.
So I feel even dumber, but
you are.
I just decided, like, hey, I hear good things about this game that I've heard for a year, and I guess it took a year to sink in. And I downloaded the demo and pretty much insta-bought it because it's a lot of fun. But it's
a really good-looking game.
It gets real hard, real fast.
It's got pretty.
And but yeah, you do the same thing. Like you play through a level for a while, and you've tried it so many times, and but sometimes that's that feeling of completing a level and then setting a good time on said level makes it all worth it. I mean, especially when you beat like someone on your friends list. I mean, that's just the best part about it. It kind of keeps you going, assuming anyone on your friends list has played it. But
it's like the Gatorade of video games.
Yeah.
That's every single Explosion Man level. I immediately check the times and scores
against
everyone else on my friends list. It was just funny because like, and Trials is probably like this too, where the first level has like 20 guys and then the next level has 20 guys. And then there's like 19, 18, 17. 18. And then by the end, it's like, it was just me on the leaderboards. It was like, nobody else had made it that far in the game. I am better than all of you.
Yeah. I found that only one person on my friends list, I think, is up to the level where I am now. So, or they've, you know, it's like, if someone else is on my friends list, it's like they made it through, but it was like with 20 faults, they call them, where you start at a checkpoint instead of the whole beginning. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's only like me and one other person on my friends list that are like literally trying to do it by the gold medal standards. And that's pretty much how I'm playing, is I want all gold medals or it's not a win to me.
Yeah.
Would you say that you want the gold?
I do. I do. Give me the gold. But yeah, I still highly recommend it, especially if it goes on sale again. I mean, yeah, I think it's still $15.
Yeah, I believe so.
I wouldn't pay that for that, but I want to play it.
Yeah, there's a lot more than what you think. I mean, there's the game's pretty deep, especially with the
mini-games. Well, and they have DLC for it, too. I just don't want to pay $15 for stuff.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But they have DLC levels don't they?
Yeah, like if you need more tracks for some reason. But there's a huge, crazy track editor if you are into that kind of thing. I mean, you can design, you know, it's one of those like free roam, you know, do what you want, crazy track editor things that I'm not going to get into, but...
I can never get into those. Like Halo's Forge mode. I was I don't think I even ever opened it.
Yeah. But anyway, it's, you know, game's over a year old, but it's still good. There's a lot of reason why a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah.
It just gets hard.
I keep thinking about it, and then I remember that I couldn't even get through the demo.
Yeah.
And then I think about, okay, yeah, you beat it on medium. And then I look and you have like 20 gamer score from it. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah. I'm up through medium and level and working on hard. I've got a few of those under my belt, but what sucks is like when I played the demo, I was obsessing over beating the times, because you can still see the times even in the demo for that the hardest track that's in the demo, and I annihilated like everyone's score. I actually like placed in like the top 5,000 or something like that, and it didn't save the score from the demo because you're only the real demo game.
Oh,
I did this like amazing run through that level, and I was like 5 seconds above like everyone on my friends list, which is a lot. I mean, there were literally tracks where I was half a second off of the gold and had to do the whole damn thing over.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it would be like, trust
the demo.
Do it in like 1 minute, 19 seconds, and I'd have like 1 minute, 19 seconds, 0.5, and it'd be, yeah, but anyway.
So, when you go to like a higher level, is it a new track or just a more restrictive time?
No, it's whole new tracks. They get crazier and crazier. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool then.
Yeah. No, I
thought it was like a more restrictive time. No, make it through this faster.
No. That's what I'm saying. Okay. I mean, medium tracks is what I'm up to. Hard tracks are hard.
Hard track is hard.
Yeah. And then there's extreme. I haven't even attempted those yet.
Is that with an EX or just the X?
I think it has an EX.
Good for you, Trials. It does definitely have that
vibe of extreme radio. You know, it's like the opening voice. Sounds like they're announcing monster trucks, like, riders, get ready, it's Trials! And then, you know, electric guitars. And
is there an eagle's cry?
There's pretty much everything but that, yeah. So it kind of sets you in that right mood. It's kind of funny because they set you up for that, and you're like, yes, I'm going to pull some badass jumps. And then it's like you get in the actual game, it's like, okay, go really fast here, now slow. Okay, now do this and go around this. And it's like, it doesn't have that extreme feel when you actually get in the game, because it's very much a puzzly thing on a motorcycle. So,
anyway. Trials HD. It's a puzzly thing on a motorcycle. NoQuarters.net.
Yeah. So speaking of co-op.
Co-op. Oh, yes.
Co-op. Ooh.
Another DLC game.
Played
some shank.
We shanked some shanks with a shank.
I shanked a lot of dudes, and you shanked some dudes. And we shanked some dudes together.
Whoa.
And there was never a shower involved. So, yeah.
They
shank.
They like it dirty.
It's a fun game. Again, I'm stupid and went a little crazy buying XBLA games this last month, but it's another one I purchased. And it's pretty much an old school brawler. It's 2D, but with some very, very cool animation. And you get to eviscerate dudes. It's an M-rated game, and they go whole hog with a chainsaw and various guns and lots of shanking. I mean, when your default attack is basically two little knives, it's all uphill or downhill.
Well,
I love
that when you hit right bumper, he like flies through the air,
God, the
and lands
move.
On a dude, and
so
then just
fun.
Stabs him in the face until
or chainsaws
until he
him
is
in the face,
dead.
Whatever,
whenever you have armed.
Yeah, I mean, you can actually get a chain, and you know, either punch dudes with it, or if you do the grab move, you can just sit there and choke them. You know, Rick James choke a bitch.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, but then what's cool about it is there is the single player story where you play Shank and your boss has betrayed you and you need to get revenge kind of thing and save your girl or all that kind of thing, you know, get vengeance basically. Mm-hmm. And then what's cool is when you play multiplayer co-op, It's same screen only, but you play a completely different game. It's a prequel to the main story. And so you're playing an earlier version of Shank and his buddy who partners in crime and their story. And so you're basically kind of getting two games in one. You're going to get a single player game.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was very Final Fight.
Yeah.
Like they even show like the little portraits of the guys in the corner with like the names next to them and their life bar and basically exactly like Final Fight did.
Yeah.
Which is fine by me because Final Fight's awesome.
Yeah. I quite enjoyed it. It's not a super long game, but I think you're mostly paying for the polish because I mean, it's a very polished game. This was on my radar because, I mean, the first footage of it was like, holy crap, this looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it mostly lived up to that. And like I said, I like the fact that you're kind of getting two games in one, you know, at least completely different levels and some different kinds of enemies, a little bit different kinds of bosses and things like that. I like that when you're playing co-op, there are like some co-op specific moves that you can do to kind of work together.
Yeah,
like you like can
with
do
the grapples.
Like, yeah, you can do like a double grapple and it'll do crazy things. And
you jump in the air and then slam a guy on his head.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. I liked Shank.
Yep.
I wouldn't pay $15 for it, but I still liked it.
Yeah.
I'll probably pick it up when it goes on the inevitable Xbox Live Arcade sale. Right.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't believe it was part of the Summer of Arcade. I think it came out the week after over, but it'll still go on sale.
Because did it come out on PS3 also?
May have.
I think it did. Because I think that's like how they determined if it was Summer of Arcade, it was only on
had to be exclusive.
Xbox. Gotcha. Just like, what is it, Lara Croft and Guardian of Light? It's only on 360 right now.
Oh.
Because like the actual online co-op part of it
mm-hmm.
doesn't happen until it comes out on the PS3 next month or
this
month or I forget when. But
right. Yeah, well, I think that's probably why Death Bank wasn't. Because, I mean, it was the week before, and it's a pretty big profile title.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho. Yeah, no, I enjoyed Shank. I mean, try the demo. You get a pretty good sense of if you like it or not.
Yeah. My only real complaint about it was, at least on co-op mode, I got very confused between who was me and who was you and who was enemies. And
one of the 20 dudes on screen.
Yeah. Yeah. It got a little chaotic at points, and I was like, I thought I started controlling a guy thinking it was me and it was your guy. And meanwhile, I'm off in the corner chainsawing nothing. And
yeah, these things happen.
Yeah. But still, it was quite a bit of fun.
Right.
Right.
I enjoyed it. So whatever.
Yeah.
Sounds compelling.
You weren't even listening.
What?
Huh?
Of course I did. It sounds very compelling.
Dude, there were chainsaws in it.
I know. I heard about the chainsaws.
Do you want me to talk?
Just like in Dead Rising, they had the paddle chainsaw.
Yeah, I heard. I'm excited about that.
Do you want me to talk about my one other DLC game so I can stop talking about those?
One other DLC game?
Whatever will make you stop talking.
Okay. Well, the other game I decided to...
Dude.
The other game I decided to pick up...
Boom!
But we don't have a podcast if he stops talking.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we do. It's
just two-person.
It'll be much more exciting.
Sure.
And compelling.
Yeah.
Anyway, what other... downloadable game.
I believe it released the same day as Shank, but I waited until after I saw the movie, which apparently I was one of the last people who will ever see it in a theater, and that's Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Ah.
Boom, pow, pss, the world.
So you a big fan of City Ransom?
Yeah, I am. I've never played it, so.
Oh, okay.
I think that gives me more of a reason to play this.
Mm-hmm.
No, I quite enjoyed the movie, despite the way I may have sounded when I reviewed it on the Bamfcast, but I wanted to wait until after I'd seen the movie and I'm glad I did because there's a lot of tie-in obviously with the movie. And I was afraid I might hit a point and be kind of spoil something for the movie. So just wanted to see the movie first, but yeah, it's a strange kind of loving tribute to 8-bit brawlers. I mean, it's a little strange that it would come out the same day as Shank because they're in some respects, very similar games, you know, they're just straight up brawlers. And, this one's much more in the vein of, like you said, River City Ransom, or even like the Simpsons or Ninja Turtle games like that, because you're very much interacting with the environment, picking up things and throwing up people or hitting. You know, it's like heavy attack will throw it, you know, light attack will just keep beating them with it,
mm-hmm.
including but not limited to picking up other guys and using them as a weapon. So, but it's pretty fun. You can level up your character and shop and buy things. So there's a little bit of a RPG element, which I guess is what River City Ransom had. Mm. that brought something new to that genre. Yeah.
I love that the overworld map is basically Super Mario 3.
Yeah,
it's character select screen is Super Mario 2, with the curtains on the side, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's straight up stolen from like a whole bunch of different games. I mean, he does the little, I guess it's kind of like the Mega Man victory dance, you know, the hands over the head kind of repeat motion, and then he disappears into a blur when you complete a level. I mean, the whole time when you're beating up dudes, they explode into coins, which is carried directly over from the movie and
yay coins. Comic
book, so, yeah, I mean, if you like, you know, I would say it'd be a little strange to just jump into this with no prior knowledge of the source material. So I'd say see the movie or something first, read the comic first, because otherwise you're gonna be kind of like, what the hell is this? What the hell is that? Yeah. So
yeah.
There's some weird.
I just like beating up dudes until they turn into coins. So
sure, I like
that's my motivation.
I like bosses that when you start to hit them, they start to turn red and flash.
Yeah, all good bosses do.
Yeah,
I like to beat my boss up like that.
Yeah, there's some weird like video game jokey things throughout the whole thing. I mean, you can enter the subspace highway, they call it, and it's this weird like sort of rainbowy road, but it's like all glitching out. There's like error. Like ROM problems all over the screen, you know, like random letters and strange shit like that. So
I don't know. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. It's 4-player co-op, same screen, or I don't know if you can, I don't think you can do live with it. I didn't see any kind of live.
Movie, I know. So. I know Shank doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if that one did.
I think this was same screen, but what's kind of cool is, each character holds their own level. So kind of, encourages you to play through with different characters and level them up. And you can always go back and play levels just to grind experience, if you will. But yeah, pretty good.
Good deal. All right. So it's time for a break?
Yes, maybe.
Yes.
I think we're going to jam it up with some jam of the NBA fashion.
What?
Yeah.
Are we on fire?
We will be.
Bonesaw.
Okay. All right, let's do that.
Can't buy a bucket. We're probably going to get sued by that guy because I know he listens to the podcast.
Of course.
Like everyone should.
It's out of love. And respect.
Mm-hmm. It's a tribute. He'll sue us out of love.
Yeah.
It is not a parody. It's a tribute.
We will be back for level 2.
Welcome back. No quarters.
Second
episode 15.2.
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Still motherfucking video game podcast.
That's right.
As always.
No quarters needed. No quarters given.
Once again, thank you for the tagline.
You're working on that, aren't you?
I like it.
Yeah. So guess what?
What?
We played some video games still.
Still? Yes. Or more?
Dude, I took a week off from work. I played a lot of games, yo.
Gang. Okay. Oh, do tell, sir.
Mass Effect 2 played the DLC, Lair of the Shadow Broker.
Lair of the Shadow Brokers.
Right. His sounded cooler than mine.
Right.
His was like,
Shadow Broker.
But no, it was $10, but it was by far the best DLC that they've put out for Mass Effect 2 by quite a bit.
Okay.
Story-wise, like the problem with the other ones was they didn't really advance any of the story of the, you know, they were just kind of little side things that were their own self-contained thing that never really interacted with anything else. And this one actually seems like it has implications that will show up in Mass Effect 3.
Oh.
So it kind of feels like, okay, here's that DLC that's kind of bridging the two games. So
sweet.
I like that idea.
And I am in favor of that.
There are some cool settings in it too, you know, some unique stuff that just isn't in the rest of the game. Obviously there's some areas that are pretty similar to stuff you've already seen, but you know, there's like a car chase, which, you know, on the Ilium planet, which is a lot like, you know, that flying car, Fifth Element, Star Wars Episode 2 type thing going on where all the cars are flying through the city and you got to chase someone down. You're going between buildings and all that sort of stuff.
Ah.
Though if you get off the rails and crash into a wall, it does that glitchy physics thing where your car just kind of flips all over the place and does crazy train. Non-physics
off the rails stuff. Like a crazy train.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're really, that's one of those things where the programmers just should have said, okay, you know what? Just blow up. If you hit the wall, you blow up. But instead they didn't. So you can get stuck flipping and flopping around like a goddamn fish on crystal meth.
That is descriptive.
Yes. Except you're in a little taxi, a little space taxi.
Hmm.
I got to rewrite part of my notes for later.
Fish on crystal meth.
I
got to take my crystal meth reference out, please.
Sorry.
Turn it into a simile.
Sorry. Anyway, yeah, but after that, you know, there's one section that, like the whole last hour of that DLC is really cool. But the problem I found with that DLC was, you know, I'd beaten Mass Effect 2 way back when, and then started an Insanity playthrough because I'm the guy who does that sort of thing.
You're the insane one. Case in point,
Explosion Man. They should have had a warning for Insanity mode, by the way, that was just like, hey, do you like Mass Effect 2? And you're like, yeah, I like Mass Effect 2. Do you not want to like it anymore?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I don't want to like Mass Effect 2 anymore. And they're like, okay, play Insanity mode then. Have fun.
Oh, great.
Yeah, here's like 6 waves of 10 guys apiece, and you have to kill all of them before you get a checkpoint, and it takes a long time to kill anyone.
That sounds like the dark side. It sounds awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't realize that my playthrough on that, I was only in the very beginning. I had recruited like one person. And so I had to recruit Grunt, and I had to recruit Jack, and I had to go through, I think I had to recruit someone else. I had to recruit Garrus,
mm-hmm.
and then do the whole section on Horizon where, you know, you visit the colony where all the people are frozen, and you fight all the Harbingers and all that stuff. My God, I'm so stupid for playing through on Insanity, but I didn't want to mess up that playthrough, so I just kept going. And so I ended up having to play an extra like 10 hours worth of Mass Effect 2 just to get to the DLC I wanted to play.
So
that unlocks in the second half.
Once you start an Insanity playthrough, you can't go back.
If you want the achievement, you can't change it. You can change it if you.
Oh, okay. No. So you only have one game. You started from the very beginning on Insanity?
No.
Oh, okay.
I beat the game and then I imported that character into a new game so that, because I was like level 29 when I finished. So I'm like, I want to get level 30 and max it out.
Okay.
Which, yeah, but that's one of those things. I think if I'm ever going to do that, I kind of have to treat it like Explosion Man where it's like, all right, you know what? I'm going to just do a section at a time and not try and play through all the way. Cause God damn, that shit's hard, but you know, I shouldn't complain cause that's why they call it Insanity, but it is significantly harder than Mass Effect 1.
They didn't call it Happy Rainbow mode.
Yeah. That could have been a good mode though.
Sure.
Happy Rainbow mode.
Nobody dies. There's just little stars come out.
There's no threat to the galaxy, anything like that.
Yeah. It's kind of like Mario Sunshine, but even less menacing.
Yeah.
You shoot them with happiness and they float away.
Mm-hmm. You shoot them in the face with butterflies.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
That version.
But yeah. If you like Mass Effect, don't play it on Insanity. That's my advice.
That's good advice.
But do play Lair of the Shadow Broker because it's pretty awesome.
I may have to pick that up.
And I like also after you beat it, you gain access to a huge thing, at least for Insanity mode, is you can respec your other characters.
Oh, okay.
You know, it cost you Ezo to do it, but I had kind of fucked up the specs on some of the people I needed, like Miranda.
Ezo? Is that a member of the Wu-Tang?
Element Zero. Oh,
okay.
But yeah, Ezo.
Yeah. Ezo ain't nothing to fuck with.
Yeah. Cousin of RZA.
Right.
And Jizza and Jizo and
RZA. Ghostface Killer. Yeah.
All them.
Right.
Yeah. And ODB. All them.
Sure.
But yeah, you can respect your characters. So that's a huge deal for someone like me who had fucked up some of their powers and didn't do the ones that focused just on one guy that did area effects, which on Insanity is completely fucking worthless. So yeah, I was able to respect them. They also have little dossiers on everyone. So you get a little more backstory, but you also get like jokey stuff. Cause I remember Mass Effect 2, they kind of got a sense of humor about things a little bit, a lot more than Mass Effect 1 did. And that's not necessarily much in the DLC until you get to those little dossiers about everyone, which are pretty good.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel. Mm-hmm.
Shepard.
Yeah. So, I I would highly recommend that DLC. Anyone who really liked Mass Effect 2, you can pretty much pass on all the other DLC unless you want to get Kasumi, I guess, the other character. But right. This is so definitely, if you're only buying one DLC, this is definitely the one to get.
Yeah, it'd be appropriate to say, I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite DLC yes. for Mass Effect 2.
There you go. So, yeah. It was good. It was better than Cats, in fact.
Are you going to play it on Insanity again and again? No.
Actually, yes.
He's going to make attempts on Insanity again and again.
At this point, honestly, Insanity is the only achievement I have left in that game.
But you're not going to play through on Insanity again.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, once I beat it, fuck. Yeah, no. Yeah,
no.
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 No. No. No. No. Once I beat it, I'm done. And then I'll probably do a Renegade playthrough on easy just to be an asshole to everyone because I've been Paragon the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll have some fun. I'll fuck with people's heads and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds good.
Do we have anything else new-wise?
Not really new.
Oh.
We got to talk. Maybe we should talk a little bit about.
Well, you can get to your demolition.
Yeah. But we have any other full games?
Yeah. On the BioWare tip for me.
Okay. Right.
I put in, before I got into the whole Mass Effect thing, I put in Dragon Age Origins.
Age of Dragons.
Which I remember long ago, you picked up Harlow.
I did.
Got into it a little bit. And then you were like, fuck this game.
Pretty much.
You got there pretty quick, too, to the fuck this game, because...
Yeah, it was... Yeah. My problem with it is very much like where... If I were to get frustrated with Mass Effect, I have that sense of, like, I really want to see this story play out mm-hmm. to go with it. I couldn't give two shits about a single person in Dragon Age. I mean, they were all annoying to me.
See, I did not get that at all.
Okay.
I don't know, it... There's a thing, something BioWare does, and I haven't quite put my finger on how they do it so well. Maybe it's like...
Coat people in blood?
Well, yeah, yeah. That...
They do that really well.
Yeah, we'll get to that, yeah. But I mean, their worlds, like, somehow you can only play for a couple hours, and you know all the rules and all the lore and all the, just like the, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a world with... where there were dragons and it's swords and sorcery and that sort of stuff. But there's so much unique ways, like little unique touches that they put in that you're kind of like, I don't know. It's like you understand that world inherently very quickly.
Oh, I understand. I'm never sure how they do it, though. I mean, the whole thing, like, I mean, I got the intrigue and the, this guy screwed that guy and made him, you know, this downfall happen and all that. And I was paying attention.
Yeah.
But let me ask this. What did you play as?
I did the human noble.
But like what class?
It's like a human noble soldier.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm thinking my
not soldier, but just like warrior. Just, hey, I got a big shield and a sword.
Yeah.
And I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
I played through the human, like mage, wizard, whatever the hell he's called.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't give two shits about any of it. I mean, I'm playing through and it just wasn't interesting. It was very much that, I don't know, it just felt like it like ripped from the pages of Harry Potter, sadly. I mean, it was like, oh yeah, you're like the best thing ever and you're on the fast track to being the top guy mm-hmm. here and everything. And it's like, oh, but your friend is kind of an asshole and you got to step in and like help him out. And by doing that, you're now an outcast. And I don't know. It was sort of like,
see, maybe yours. I mean, it.
Yeah,
I know all the origin stories are completely different.
Yeah, they're different, completely so. Different. So, I mean, it's like, right off the bat, I'm like, I just don't care. My friend's an asshole, but I'm still feeling kind of loyal somehow, so I'm going to stick up for him. And it's like, oh, but that, yeah, that pretty much royally fucked me. So,
yeah. Well, I really got into it, I got to say.
Okay.
And what I liked was that not all the characters in your party wanted you to be a good guy.
Right.
Like, loved that Morrigan, like, I helped some dude. Like, I found, like, the diplomatic solution to something, you know, like, these people were arguing about the price of, this guy was overcharging everyone for their food in the town, and I, like, you know, did the diplomatic, you know, oh, well, here, you pay this, and, you know, I got everyone to get along, and she's like, what? And she's just like, why the fuck are you wasting your time with these people? Yeah, and it's like, and her approval rating dropped, which I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I've got people who, if I'm just, like, Mr. Super Nice Paragon... that they're just going to be like, fuck you, get out of here.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy aspects of it. It's just like, Most of them I was just so bored by. Yes, she was cool. And, you know, the scantily dressed slutty chick of, the, of the bunch. And if you play the bad boy, you can kind of go after her. If you play the good boy, you can go after the saucy redhead priest chick, whatever.
Did you do the DLC that came with the game, the Stone Prisoner, the guy Shale?
I didn't do it. I mean,
he's pretty awesome.
Okay.
Like, he is a really fun character to talk to.
Yeah.
But here's what happened is I got out into the main world and started going around and, you know, you get to a point, you know, you get through, it's same structure, I guess, as Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2 kind of had, where it's like, okay, you've done your intro section. We put you in the world. Here's like three main places to go to get like your big mission sets, you know? So it's like, oh, you can help the dwarves, you can help the elves, you can help the mages. And I just kind of went and did like DLC areas. I was like, okay, we'll do the Warden's Den. I was like, okay, that was cool. That was kind of fun. You know, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll do the Stone Prisoner one, which is the one that came with the game. So do that. And I enjoyed the ones where it's like, you go to this place, you're going to do one mission. And when you're done with it, okay, you're back here. You probably have a better weapon. You might have another companion on there. I enjoyed those so much more. And then I found myself going like, okay, I went to the elf place and talked to the main elf who's like, okay, we got to kill all the werewolves. And then there was another guy who's like, oh, hey, we got to do this. And then there was another guy that was like, oh, hey, we got to do this. And there's another guy that was like, can you help me with this? And I was like, fuck, I'm going to be in this area for like another 10 hours, aren't I?
Oh, yeah.
So I was kind of like, fuck it, maybe I'll go help the dwarves. And then I went to the dwarf area and the guy's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then it was, hey, can you help me with this? And then there was another guy who was like, oh, hey, maybe you can help me with this. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to be here 10 hours.
There's a lot to this game. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. It was just kind of like,
oh, I probably wouldn't have eaten Dragon Age up at like 13. That game would have been so amazing when it was like, holy crap, for $60, I can spend 200 hours playing this game and read all of this stuff and go through all this. And now it's like,
well, I found myself not reading any of the lore, let's go fight some shit, you know? And
yeah. And I don't know. Maybe it's just because I was trying to play the mage guy. It's like, I wasn't even enjoying combat, really.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm just getting game ADD at this point where I'm just like, give me a mission that'll take me an hour and I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I'm almost better with those or like, you know, instead of just, hey, here's a half dozen missions from all these people in this area. You know, it's like, it's going to take you forever to get through this. And, you know, and then I'm kind of like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to do this.
Right.
And that was kind of the point where I just kind of stopped and jumped onto other games and was just, I couldn't get into it.
I'm afraid to get involved with Dragon Age.
You should be.
Like, I kind of want to play it, but I don't want to get involved with Dragon Age.
You need to go finish Oblivion before you think about touching Dragon Age.
No, I mean,
Shut up. I put a lot of hours in.
I'm just saying,
do that. And you'll
I know I'll go back to Dragon Age. I don't know. Yeah. I think I just need to be I need to mentally prepare myself for, okay, each section I go to is going to be fucking forever.
My problem is like this year, Dragon Age is the kind of game I would normally have picked up like February or March because there would be nothing. Like, you know, I'd be through my holiday games that it's not like I waited for Christmas. I got them, you know, in October, November when they were coming out, but it's like, this year, just all damn year was hit after hit after hit game, you know, and there was never that lull time that I would put it, you know, sink time into a game like this. And so it just it never happened. So, yeah, I mean, we had Mass Effect drop in what, February or
January?
January. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like end of January.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like we've had these time sync games come out, you know, all year or so.
It's like you kind of wrap up Mass Effect and then you move on to
Then I get something like shitty, like, you know, like Just Cause. I mean, it was like, fuck, how many hours did I put in that? It's like,
You know, and then Red Dead.
Yeah, and Red Dead.
Red Dead, how many hours?
I sunk a lot.
All three of us now have put into that damn game.
I sunk a lot of hours into games I weren't even on my radar, and suddenly they come out and I'm like, holy shit. So.
Well, I mean, it's been a good year, but that's the bad thing is you get games and you never get around to playing.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know that I hate Dragon Age. Just what I encountered, I was incredibly bored by it. I was like, man, you know, it's like if I was even remotely felt like I was connected to the story, I could get past the things that I'm bored by, but I'm honestly bored by it all. I mean, you know, just what I encountered. I mean, combat was boring to me.
Yeah, it's also very clear with that different people wrote that and then wrote Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah.
you know, such, because I mean, there's just so little humor in it.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm
feeling the only humor I really found was after every fight, they fucking coat your characters in blood. Yeah. They are splattered in blood all over them.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll just like have a normal conversation with somebody like, oh yeah, hey.
Well, the best
what's the price of bread here in town, you know?
Well, the best is that priest chick, you know, because she's wearing the all white robes and she looks like fucking Carrie by the end of the battle. Yeah. She's just like
fucking red and coated, you know? And it's just like, why did they do that?
It didn't make any sense to me.
Like, my favorite part is when you do the human noble origin story, there's a point where you have to kill rats in the kitchen. Like the whoever the cook is or whatever is like, oh, there's giant rats in there. You got to take them out. So you go in there and I'm like, okay, cool.
Sounds
you know,
like every RPG on the planet.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, I'm killing rats, you know, chopping them up, kill them. And then like, he goes back out to talk to her. And this is the first time that the first battle I'd ever fought. And so I'm like, they suddenly jump to the cutscene and they show the close up of his face and he's just fucking coated in blood. And he's like, I took care of your rat problem. You know, and I'm like, this chick's like, holy fuck.
You're cutting him them up yourself.
Were you smearing them on your face? What the hell?
Clean up crew in the kitchen.
I'm like, what's your kitchen look like now? You fucking got blood everywhere.
I hope you like rat for dinner. Inevitably, there's some in your stew.
I hope you like rat chunks. Yeah. Jesus.
What are you there like a whirling dervish on rats?
But otherwise, yeah, it is kind of like this humorless universe
that
I found, but I still like the mythology that they've set up there. So
yeah,
I'd like to see where it goes.
Yeah. That's the kind of game I might try to get back into if I had 80 spare hours or so.
Yeah. The only thing I found weird is like a lot of their DLC doesn't seem to tie into the actual game. It's like, okay, here's this side story where you play another character who's not your main character. And once you're done with it, you're done with it. You know, that seemed a little strange to me is that a ton of their DLC is like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I don't know. Just seems like stuff they could have, I don't know.
Should have been on the disc.
Yes. Stuff that should have been on the disc. The imaginary third disc.
Or the fourth disc.
Fourth. Wow. That's a lot of discs.
Roll mad deep in
that's
discs.
That's a lot for the Age of Dragons.
Yep.
It's on 160,000 floppy disks.
Okay.
Man.
I only got one more thing for you guys before I let you do your demolition. And this is on the Gamers with Cast Network. There's guys, that video game podcast.
Yes.
Every week, like, you know how we always end up talking about Borderlands at some point?
Do we?
Pretty much with them, somebody ends up talking about Pinball Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Man, fuck Pinball. And
I picked up Pinball Hall of Fame from GameStop. And God, that is so good. It is like, I'm not even like really a pinball guy,
like, but pinball on the 360.
Yes, but and I know you're thinking, really?
Okay.
But honestly, it.
You turn your TV sideways.
I don't know how they did it, but they make it feel like a damn pinball table. Like, you know, it does, the physics and all of it feels exactly right. And somehow using the triggers for the left and right, you know, left and right flippers just feels right. And I can't explain it any other way, but it's one of those where when you actually play it, you're like, God damn, this is really fun.
It should come with a specialized pinball controller. Sort of like the,
it could, but then GameStop probably would have charged me like $100 for it.
What was that?
You're talking about Steel Battalion.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh God.
Yeah. Should have come with its own massive pinball controller.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. But
it's actually just pinball box with a special screen in it.
Right.
Yeah. But these are all like real pinball tables. And it's funny because like the way
they have the Playboy pinball.
No, I don't think that was a Williams table.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I always want to play that in the bar, but I don't want anybody to see me playing it.
Why?
Cause he's ashamed.
Cause it's a fucking Playboy pinball table.
So
it's dumb.
Oh, okay.
It's titillating.
I don't want people to think I'm playing it because, oh, it's a Playboy pinball table.
Okay.
Yeah. But they do so many
multi-ball
things right.
Oh.
They do so many things right with this collection in that I think there's 13 tables in it. And each of them has like five basic goals that are not like the easiest things to get in the first place. And then once you get those, that's when you get an achievement. And then there's like five, they call them wizard goals, that are just like, you know, score like a quadrillion fucking billion points, you know, just like really hard ones. Like if you were to pull some of these off, you feel like, you know, you've beaten Explosion Man or
feel like something. Tommy.
Yeah.
The pinball wizard.
Yes. You feel like a pinball wizard. It's probably why they call them wizard ghouls. I don't know.
Oh,
but,
yes.
I see what they did. Yes, there.
I do too.
Yeah. But it's just cool because they actually have like a tutorial for each table that says, okay, here's what happens when you do this. Here's, and like, it's really,
that's good.
It's really well narrated. And it's just funny because like, I never realized like so many pinball tables have like a storyline to what? Them. Yeah. It's like fucking bizarre, but it's like, you know, the guy will tell you, well, you know, like Medieval Madness has like 50 billion damn things that you can do. Like, you know, if you shoot it here on this in from this direction, it's triggers this. And if it triggers that, you know, and it's like, you have to knock down the castle gates and then, you know, get the drawbridge to come down and then bomb the castle. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's just very cool. That's like something you don't think about in pinball. And also with the goals that they've set up in there, you actually like actually play it with a strategy. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to shoot it up the ramp. I like the ramp. I'm going to shoot it up the ramp.
That ramp does
good. Yeah, that's a pretty sweet ramp.
I like it when it goes bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. So, and I mean, there's the tables are so varied. They're like from the earliest one. I think the one that unlocks is from like 1973. Up to like one from 1997, I want to say.
It's Dodge Challenger Pinball.
Yeah, it, actually, the oldest one is called Jive Time.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, I haven't unlocked awesome. It yet, though. I can't get to it. But it's just...
Do you speak Jive?
Actually, no.
Oh, I do.
No. I've never seen Airplane, so shut up.
Oh.
Sorry.
Spoilers! Spoilers.
I have Barbara seen Billingsley that scene.
Speaks Jive. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. But no, I mean, everything, like, I see why they go nuts over it every week. And it's just, it's a fun game, and I'm incredibly better at pinball now that I've played it.
Well, strange segue here is that, speaking of pinball.
Speaking of pinball.
I don't know if I said this or not, but I still don't know why this exists, but I'll tell you why it exists for me. I signed up for PlayStation Plus.
And the only, what?
And the only reason I did this is because I wanted the Hulu app.
Yeah.
So I just did the 3-month thing. I thought hopefully by then I'll either know if I like it or maybe it'll come on the 360 and be free or whatever, or mm-hmm. it won't be in beta anymore and you won't have to have PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
But by virtue of that, when you have PlayStation Plus, the only thing I could see that you get is you get the free subscription to the Core video magazine thing, whatever.
Core with a Q.
Yeah, Core. But they, apparently what they do with Core every month is they travel Core. To various locations around the world and do a little segment.
Mm-hmm.
I like I said, this is my first experience with Core, but it sounds like this is something they've been doing all along. Okay. And much like we were talking about earlier, the last place they went was Vegas, which I'm sure was supposed to tie in with a, you know, that game show E3 or something. Or something. I don't know.
Fallout New Vegas?
No, I think it wasn't E3.
Dead Rising 2?
Semi-recently.
I don't
keep track of these things.
Yeah, it was like a month or two ago.
Yeah, so that's they like probably, that. That's why they were there.
I heard there was motion control there.
Yeah, there might have been.
That's what I heard, and 3D.
So, anyway, they went somewhere that I never knew existed in Vegas. There is a huge, like, pinball museum
what?
In Vegas, where, like, this guy basically is a huge pinball fan, and he's gone around the world and found as many pinball tables as you can possibly get together, fix what? Them back up, and they're all playable.
Oh, my God.
Including, like, some of the rarest, like, he said there's like one that
1940s ones or something.
Well, not only that, just like some like rare ones as far as production. Like he was pointing to this one machine. He's like, there was only ever like 100 or 200 of these things ever made. And he's got one that you can.
And this is the only one left.
Yeah.
Do you want to play?
But I was like, I've got to go.
$1,000.
Next time I go to Vegas, I've got to seek this place out.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
It looks pretty awesome.
Pinball machines are bitching. I first learned about the story behind, or like the fact that there was kind of story in pinball machines from a Star Wars Phantom Menace pinball machine.
Okay.
And this sounds retarded because, you know, the movie is not retarded. Exactly yeah. great.
So the pinball machine had more story than the actual...
Well, barely. But there was a little bit more story to it.
Was there a little annoying kid next to you going, I want to play?
I punched him in the throat.
Cool. Good job.
Good call.
But...
That stopped the future massacre of all the Jedis.
Yes, it did. I win.
Yeah.
It does feature some of that crap in there, yeah. But it had a really cool video screen. It was one of the ones with the video screen in it, that's kind of like interactive, and it's a wicked pinball machine. But I learned that there's certain things that you have to do and steps that you have to take
mm-hmm.
to get things to happen and to rack up the gazillion-y points.
Yep. And they explain all that in the
Yeah,
thing. That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. I've mastered the shit out of that.
Well, my two favorite tables are the old Addams Family one from the first mm-hmm. The first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the it wasn't Mars Attacks, but it was like capitalizing on that. It was like Invaders from Mars or something like that pinball table mm-hmm. that was really awesome. And then apparently I'm really damn good at the Spider-Man one. So remember that time we went to the movie theater?
At Tinseltown. Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You played for like an hour on one quarter.
Yeah. It was bizarre. Like I just, some kind of weird idiot savant on that machine. I was just like, couldn't lose. It was like, hey, more free balls. Hey, more free balls. Just keep playing.
That's one thing I haven't figured out.
You and like, free balls.
Yeah.
Like I understand why arcades died, because basically you could get a better video game experience at home for basically cheaper, you know, than an arcade. But I don't understand how pinball machines vanished, kind of.
They're still out there.
But how they haven't made like some sort of comeback like this museum in Vegas. Because it's like, even though as good as Williams Collection is, like, it's not the same as being at, you know, a big ass table, you know, and you know, being able to pop it to make it shake, and all that stuff. I mean, just, you know, messing with the plunger, not pulling it all the way back, you know, giving
or
it a little pop.
Or just smacking the plunger with your fist instead of pulling it back. Know,
I don't know. It's just one of those things where there's such a tactile feel to an actual pinball table that you can't necessarily replicate. And I don't know.
There's a lot
of
emergent gameplay.
I don't know anybody that doesn't have fun at a pinball table, you know?
People that suck at them don't have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are people that don't like pinball.
No, there are literally some tables that are just, they made them to suck your quarters away. Like, they're at a certain angle.
That's what all pinball tables
are. No, but I mean, there are some that are just, like, at a ridiculous angle, and they will have a track that just, like, if you hit it, there's no way you can flip the flippers to get the ball not to go down. Oh, yeah.
All pinball tables have that kind of thing. Some are more fuck you than others.
Yeah.
Right about that. Yeah. But those are usually, like, the cheap, you know.
And you notice in the ramps in, like, some of these games, like, when it comes down that ramp, a lot of them are angled directly at the middle.
Sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, right it's set up, it's, like, mathematically perfect to go right down the middle where you cannot get to it, you know.
Basically, your lesson is don't shoot it there.
Pinball story, just because this is a quick one. But when I was in England, I made a point of playing a pinball machine when I was in Soho, and I played a pinball machine when I was in Brighton.
That's some sort of joke, and I already made
the reference to the song earlier.
He's talking about the Who.
Oh,
from Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all.
Okay.
Did you play them all?
You sure played a mean pinball then.
I did.
Did Were they you have the a plunger? Deaf, dumb kid.
Well, what's pretty awesome about the pinball machines in England is yes. No, what's awesome about the pinball machines in England is they still really like the old ones.
God blimey! No,
polite. Yes, they're very polite. Like, oh no, tilt. It's like
very proper.
Yeah, slightly off. Hey, Governor.
Would you please not hit the machine?
I'm afraid
again.
You tilted that time.
Please, sir, don't hit me.
Here's your ball back.
Multi-ball, please, sir. May I have some more? But no, I mean they still very much into the old school pinball machines. Like they, you know, like we go and the only things that are left in any arcades or bars here are pretty much licensed ones. You know, it's movie based, this, that, the other. They still have weird ones that are like cowboy or circus or, you know, really generic. Like they look like they've been sitting there since the '70s. Kind of pinball tables everywhere you go.
Actually, the pinball licensing and import law of 1968. I believe it was, kind of cut down on what they could actually put in a pinball machine or what was available for import in the UK. And that's why a lot of the pinball machines are kind of different over there.
Are you speaking completely out your ass right now?
Yeah. What did you think I was doing?
I don't know. You have a computer in front of you. There could be Wikipedia involved. Dude, I don't know.
I was totally buying that for about 30 seconds. Then I was like, wait a minute. He's not looking at the screen anymore.
No, I knew that shit. He's just talking. I was trying to sell it as if I knew it.
Right. Anyway, pinball. Let's move on.
All right.
Is it time for the demolition?
Almost. Claptrap DLC is
quickly borderline.
Almost going. It's right there. I can feel it. That's how close it is.
Dude, it's only a couple weeks away.
I know. It's so exciting. I can't wait. Level cap goes up.
Yeah, level cap goes up to
69, dude.
And Gearbox is still working on Duke Nukem Forever, which is cool.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't officially talk about that, did we?
No. Not last yet. Time it was
we rumor. Knew it was happening.
It was a rumor, yeah. But not confirmed. And
yep.
Yeah.
Now
so it has since confirmed. Been confirmed. If you didn't know about that, then
myth confirmed.
Well, yep. Apparently they've been working on it for like a year now.
Yeah.
Like okay. They are in like the polish phase, apparently.
That's pretty exciting.
So I mean it is if it doesn't come out.
That makes a
Gearbox
lot of,
really fucked up somehow. Apparently.
That makes a lot of sense based on things I've heard. Things that people wouldn't talk about.
What?
Gearbox people that wouldn't talk about certain details.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They were like, they just, oh, we're working on something big. Can't tell you.
Yeah. Gotcha.
They were actually referring to Claptrap DLC.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yes. That's got me excited. It looks like it's going to be some cool
and I
fun
also
stuff.
I also placed our order for all the Claptrap figures.
Woohoo!
Yes! So, some point next month, I will receive a package from BigBadToyStore.com that
and you will
have little
about
Claptraps in it.
I'm so excited.
Awesome.
And we will sit there annoying everyone pressing the button.
I'm mm-hmm. dancing! Come on, check me out! I'm dancing!
It's going to be
dancing.
Awesome. Dancing! But yeah, so...
That's it. That's all we have.
Speed round's over.
Yeah. Yep. Very quick speed round this time.
Other than T-Strel apparently meeting cheaters.
Oh,
online.
God. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I sent
yeah.
him a link about how that guy did that.
Yeah.
Was it how I thought, which was taking the saves off of the Moo and mm-hmm. putting them on a computer?
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. And then hex editing.
Yeah. So apparently they were throwing out like cartridges or something.
Yeah. Apparently.
That when you picked them up, like lets you reset all your skills to 5.
Right.
Something like that.
They basically just gave him enough skill points to put 5 into everything in his entire tree. And also handed him some kind of red weapon that did.
Yeah.
He says, like, this is T-Strel, so his reading comprehension is questionable at times. But he says it does, like, 2.2 million damage per shot on an SMG, which is
a We need to get in the game and see that.
A little suspect because, I mean, I think, like, my good one does about 250, 250, mm-hmm. not 1,000 or...
Yeah, but yeah. if you hack
oh, I know,
it, then
I know, I'm
why
just,
not do 2 million damage and...
Sure.
You know, rape Cromerax in 3 shots.
Well, because...
I'm all for that.
Oh, that cheating's okay. Console command cheating, not okay.
I mean, I'm saying do it. I'm just... If you're going to cheat, you
just
cheat
do it right.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah. And when T-Strel gets banned, he's
going to
get banned from Xbox Live. You know, it's
sure.
going to happen.
Yeah.
That'll be hilarious. I swear.
Especially when he can't play Rock Band online.
Oh, God.
I'm going to
What
laugh.
Is he
going
to do if he can't
play Rock
Band? He
goes off the leaderboards like that.
I'm going to laugh myself to death. I promise you. Right now, I will die laughing if that happens.
Yeah.
You all know right. He'll just get a new account completely.
Probably. Yeah. Anyway. But all his achievements and all his Rock
so
Band
yes,
crap.
Yeah. Cheating is not relegated simply to the PC, apparently. Especially
not anymore.
Probably made even easier by the USB.
Yeah, the USB thing. I
thing. So.
They had to know that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
I honestly may try it, but I'm going to do it solely offline. Like, I literally will pull my console off the network
yeah.
and start a new
create
save.
A new game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with a completely different USB stick. Like, I don't even want my USB stick
you don't
in
want
the machine.
Chain
yeah.
On
yeah. Use, yeah. Use a different console, different USB stick.
I may. I
mean, don't even create a new live account.
Yeah. I'll go over
I mean, Tommy. create a new yeah. account, period.
Something oh, okay. I said just reminded me of the only other funny thing in Dragon Age.
Oh.
Is like all through the beginning part, they keep talking about the taint.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
the taint is growing strong.
Yeah.
I can feel the taint from here.
Oh, you gotta scrub it.
Scrub it like
so,
I love it.
So, yeah, other than guys being coated in blood, they talk about the taint a lot.
Should we explain the taint brush?
No.
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 Just better no. left unknown.
Just, yeah.
Just we have
brush
a long running joke.
It's called the taint
brush.
Yeah.
Shuka, 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 shuka.
All right.
Anyway,
it's time for some demolition.
Okay, demo the hell out of
demos. I demoed 4 games. One, two, three, four, 5 games in this segment of demolition.
And I did 2 of them plus 1.
Yes, and so I'm going to start off with the ones that Harlow did not take part in, and then we'll get into the ones that he did. First one I demoed. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, was 99 Nights 2. I know it's, I think, I'm pretty sure it's been out for a while, but it's one that I meant to do a demolition on earlier, and I just didn't get around to it because I haven't had a whole lot of time for games, as usual. Mm-hmm. But I sat down and made myself last night delve into it. It reminds me a lot of well, vaguely of Devil May Cry, you know, 1 through 943, however many they did, sort of, and sort of the combos and the orbs and the, you know, the kind of streaks and everything, and a little bit of the motion. But there are so many fucking enemies in this demo. Like, I think at one point I had a kill total of like 600, and this is just in a
Jesus, man,
20 minute demo. And they're all kind of like throwaway enemies, but there are Brazilians of them.
Mm-hmm. Brazilians, did yes, you just
there
say?
Were Brazilians of them. It was Carnival, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks kind of interesting. I'm not real excited about it. I played through the whole demo, and it looks like it's missing quite a bit of polish. The menus aren't that great. They don't explain hardly anything in it. Granted, it's just a demo, but it doesn't give you a good idea of the game. So I'm not real keen on it. If somebody let me borrow a copy, that would be fine. I wouldn't pay more than $10 for it. That's my price point. If I saw it at $10, I'd probably pick it up and screw around.
You're probably in luck because they pump those out pretty quick, I think. Like, I don't think it's been that long since the first 99 Nights, and especially I think it's either by the same company or somebody very similar to the Dynasty Warriors people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're up to, you know, Dynasty Warriors 14 or something now, you know.
And they just released one last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, so.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to seek it out, but yeah, if I run across it for $10, I'd probably pick it up just to play through it and see if it gets
wear out your X button.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it. It's mashing the shit out of buttons.
Yeah.
And I think we were talking about at some point, I don't know if it's on the podcast or if we're talking about it before, but we were talking about how, you know, you can't, there are some games where you can't interrupt a swing or a move, and that's this game to a T. If you start a combo, you're finishing the motherfucker.
Yeah, that's regardless. How Dead Rising, a lot of the moves are, where it's like, if you're going to swing, you better hit that guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that sounds like the same way.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same way. Dodge is kind of dodgy, but like in the British type of dodgy.
A wee bit dodgy.
A wee bit dodgy. It's just, I don't know. It's just kind of a throwaway game, I guess, basically. So like I said, my price to buy, $10. I'd do it if I found it. While I was looking for something else. The next game that I played was, I gave another shot to NCAA Football 11 because I had it downloaded and I figured...
Go Noles!
Yeah, whatever. I figured I would give it a try and say, you know, fuck it, I'll play as some other team and we'll just to see how the action goes and see how the game plays. And to my surprise, when I went to play the game, it allowed me to choose... I think there were four matchups that allows you to choose from. It let me choose whichever team I wanted to choose from the matchups. So it's like, great, I get to play as, you know.
So it lets you play Tebow.
No, it's actually the current roster, so it doesn't have.
He's on the box.
Yeah, he's on the box, but
wait, what? Tebow's on the box, but you can't play him.
Have you ever seen how the NCAA? Football games work from EA Sports.
No,
they
pick
names.
A guy that graduated last year or at least went to the NFL last year and put him on this year's box.
So they put did like it with Peyton Reggie Manning Bush. On it last year.
No, they put Peyton Manning on it back in 2000, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm confused.
But like Reggie Bush, you know, when he went to the Saints, they put
so
him on.
In other words,
the,
they let
the
you
cover.
Play as the Florida Tebows.
Do they come and take that cover away from him?
Yes, they're going to actually. Okay.
That's my one sports joke.
They're going to take that, the third trophy that got taken away from them this year. But no, I got to play as my University of Florida Gators, which was fun. You know, the team that I have an irrational emotional investment in.
Mm-hmm.
So I played against the Florida State Seminoles and demolished them 42-0 on regular difficulty. So I'm glad that it's not really difficult per se. Granted, it's the number 6 team in the nation versus the like number 40 team. I don't know what Florida State was ranked in the game, but I liked the gameplay. I think they made considerable improvement since the last one, which I played was like, I think it was 07 or 06.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the way the play calling is done, or at least the way they give you the option to do the play calling, which is they give you like 16 plays to choose from instead of choose your formation. You know, and choose this and then choose that and then choose this. And then you can select from these plays. It speeds that whole part of the game up a lot, and it takes a lot of that crap that I didn't like out of the games. I'm a shitty play caller. I can't call plays for shit, which is why I'm a shitty play caller.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. I don't like that portion of the game. I like just playing the game, especially on defense. I'm really terrible at it. So it takes a lot of that out of the game, which adds more of the fun stuff in the game, which is actually playing. I think they did a good job with the look. It looks really good. Looks good. Plays smooth. I kind of liked it. My price to buy, as usual with these games, is $20. So it'll probably be about 8 months before I think about buying it if I decide to buy it. But I might just go ahead because it's, you know, it's got a Florida guy on the cover. So
right on.
And I like the gameplay, and I like the NCAA football games. They're more fun than the Madden games, which is the next one that I'm going to talk about, which is Madden 11. I went ahead and tried it out. I've never really been a big fan of the games because it always seems like it's the game just is in fuck you mode all the time. That's the way I always feel about them, about the pro football games. With the exception,
like, you're always going to fumble at the worst possible time.
Always going to fumble. You know, I'm going to throw an interception. The guy's going to be miles open, and then somebody's going to show up parachuting in and intercept the ball and run it back for a touchdown. And that's sort of what happened with this. I mean, granted, I was playing as the Jets versus the Colts, which is a terrible matchup. But overall, it was okay. The one thing that bugs me and continues to bug me about the sports games where there's contact, in 20 odd years of football games, they still haven't figured out how people run into each other and then bounce off of each other properly. They just, it's like, you know, they've made giant strides in the realism of the stadium, the grass, the way light reflects off of helmets. But could you spare like $1 million on figuring out what the fuck happens when two grown men run into each other with pads on?
They get concussions.
Exactly. And they don't get concussions in this game. And that's what my description was, like, retarded Rock'em Sock'em robots on meth. It's kind of how they act. They just jiggle around for a little bit, and then somebody falls down.
Like a fish on meth?
No, like a retarded Rock'em Sock'em robot on meth.
No, I meant the guy falling down afterwards.
After that, he is somewhat akin to a sea snake on meth.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
Retarded sea snake
on meth. Like a sea cucumber?
No, sea snake.
Okay.
Specifically sea snake. Oh. But, I mean, all that, the game isn't half bad. It's got this feature called Game Flow, which basically lets the game, it does all the coaching for you. So you don't even have to choose the plays.
You just have to execute them.
Yeah, you just run the plays. And that is genius for me. That actually made the game way more enjoyable than any of the previous Madden games have been for me. Because it takes the part that I'm stupidest about, takes it out of the game. And they even have the little headset feature where they kind of coach you a little bit. It gets annoying after the seventh or eighth time he tells you, all right, it's time to hit the hole hard. Run straight up the middle. If there's, then do it. Good job. Go for it.
Are we talking about football?
Yes.
Okay.
We're not talking about Gladiator movies. Yes.
Boom.
But I thought it was pretty cool. It's a nice feature. I'm not that into the pro football games, but if I was going to buy it, my price to buy would be $15. And that's really cheap for a Madden game, so maybe I'll get it in 2 years.
In the demo, in any way, shape, or form, give you a teaser as to what, like, the franchise mode would be like?
Not at all. Well, it may have been. They may have given me a teaser, but I just went straight for playing the game.
Okay.
And the gameplay.
I'm just always curious about that because, and I don't remember. I want to say it was like Madden 06 or 05, somewhere right between the Xbox to 360 transition. There was one of those that had an amazing franchise, and also, like, I think they called it like Dynasty mode or something like that, where you could play a team for several seasons, or you could specifically focus on a created player and, like, take them from getting drafted all the way up, you know, and contract negotiations and everything. And it was really, it was really interesting and really well done. And then it's like, It all went away, and it's like they started from square one when they went back to the 360, and the last time I tried it, it was shit. You know, like, yeah.
I think they even had at one point where you could play you could take a player from a freshman in NCAA football, play the player through the years in NCAA football. When he graduated, you could export that player into the Madden series,
right.
Draft him, and then coach him all the way through his career. See, and that's would be like crazy nerdy kind of football nerd thing to do, but it would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they had one. I mean, I
am not up for that.
I don't know that I'd necessarily want to do that, but I mean, they had one. I mean, it was as detailed as you wanted it to be. I mean, literally, you were the manager of the team, the stadium, and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you could actually
control the concessions.
Yeah, you could control the concessions. And
football tycoon.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive with the amount of detail, not just playing just the game, but managing the whole damn thing.
I might go back and take another look at it and see if there's any sort of curious franchise mode
available. I feel like EA took several steps back in some of those things, because Tiger Woods used to have a pretty amazing franchise type mode too, where you could go after sponsorships and this, that, and the other, and all that. And then it was like
cocktail waitresses.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was like, let's take that away and just focus on the gameplay, which I can understand that that's important. But then it just seemed like they said that, and then it was like, well, this is kind of the same game. It's a little shinier, but yeah, I'm not knocking that. I just, you know, I know that it's a small iteration kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You can't go in and drastically change it, or you alienate the people that do go out and buy it every year.
Right.
So,
but
it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. That game flow thing pretty much sold me on the game, you know, and even though it's I've got a cheap price point on it.
You have a cheap price point on most games.
On most games. Yeah.
To be fair.
But it sold me on the possibility of actually playing this
game.
They
don't have that in the free flow, is not in the college one.
It's
doing Batman in college football,
which would be amazing. Snap the goddamn ball. No, they have sort of a similar thing. It lets you choose from a selection of plays to run that are, you know, kind of situational, but it won't just coach the game for you.
Okay.
Like Madden will.
Right.
And I suspect if I ever pick it up, I will be game flowing the fuck out of it, which will be awesome. P.S. The Jets kind of really suck in that game. And
say it ain't so, Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
Say it ain't so, 100-year-old LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah. Actually, he was pretty useful. Sean Green got me like 150 yards on the ground, but I still lost. If that gives you an idea of how crappy the Jets are. And now, I guess, speaking of New Jersey, I guess, why don't we talk about Mafia 2? That was the worst segue in the history of segues.
Bada bing!
So
Mafia the Second.
Yes,
Mafia Junior.
Mafia the Second. Overall, I kind of liked it. It was interesting. You don't get very much time to play this game. It's kind of Grand Theft Mafia, Grand Theft Gangster, whatever
Grand
you call
Theft
it.
60s.
Yeah. It seems to have a little bit more character than GTA. But I'm kind of a sucker for the gangster type feel and the whole, you know, the 60s gangster type thing. The driving is kind of shit.
Yeah, well,
it feels really, 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 really weak.
Yeah, you should have played the first one.
Oh, was it bad?
Well, the first one was like 30s gangsters, so you're in like Model T's and let's get away.
Right.
Holy, slow down! You're going 40.
Yeah. I don't know. The driving just seems really weak.
Yeah.
You know, like GTA's isn't great, but it's at least pretty well fleshed out, and it doesn't feel like it in Mafia 2. That's not to say that the game's bad per se.
It's a gorgeous game.
Yeah, it's really good looking. Yeah. The character models are really nice. Mm-hmm. And the mouth movement is really good. Their mouths aren't backlit, which is nice. It's kind of like Goodfellas, the game, I guess, is kind of the feel like
the early part, yes, of the movie, I mean.
Yeah. But the demo is pretty, like I said, pretty short. It gives you a good idea of kind of what to expect, which is lots and lots of shooting from cover.
Yeah, if you do play the demo, don't rush to do the mission, because it's the only mission, and it will cut your demo time off.
Oh, yeah.
You have 10 minutes of exploring the city to do what you want, mm-hmm. and then it doesn't count that's not against like the entire demo time. That's just free exploration time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you can still go do the demo or the, you know, the mission part.
Well, I didn't do that. I kind of went straight for the mission.
I did too.
Because I assumed that it would let me have the rest of that time after the mission was over.
And I was like, oh, nope.
But what is there around the city to do? I noticed there were a lot of things going on in that city.
It's very busy.
I mean, there are people walking all over the place, and the map kept track of people and cars everywhere.
Yeah, it was pretty busy.
Just really active city. Really, really neat. I mean, the neighborhoods were interesting and intricate.
Yeah, I was playing it very much like GTA, and so it was like, coming out of the driveway, I was just like, all right, gun it. And I'm like, like I get sideswiped a little bit. And I'm like, oh, sorry, keep driving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very busy street.
I sped past a cop. One thing that never occurs to me in GTA is driving, you know, drive past a cop 300 miles an hour. No big deal. And this, they're like, oh, we got a high speed pursuit, a speeding vehicle, blah, 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 blah. And they start chasing your ass.
One thing that is absolutely brilliant, and if they don't put this in the next GTA, I'm going to hurt somebody, is not only that, where cops actually pay attention to traffic violations, but speed limiter. Did you see that? That was a button. There's literally,
I saw it was a button, but I never messed with it.
There's literally like a governor that makes you go whatever speed limit is.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, it's just nice if you want to play the game, you know, like I'm actually participating and not trying to draw attention to myself.
Right.
You throw that on and speed limit's 30, 40, 50, whatever. You're just going to go that fast.
Cool.
And so I just like,
I wish I'd have seen that.
That's a neat feature, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's a, it's, I mean, the first one was a GTA ripoff. Gorgeous graphics at the time, obviously very dated now. I think I'm more interested in the 1960s style gangster than the 30s. Just just as the setting. I mean, it's something like, I feel like we've seen more 30s gangster games than we have, you know, 60s era gangster games.
And it so, feels cool and hip.
Yeah, it's very much like the, like Red Dead, it's like, wow, okay, this is a setting you don't see in every game. It's kind of unique. At the same time, the controls do feel a little muddy, maybe not perfect.
Yeah, I mean, they're not great.
No.
I had some problems with the cover. Mm-hmm. The cover system seemed decent, but a little bit off. There's something just kind of off.
Yeah.
And you're gonna be using a lot of cover for gunfights in this game, because if you even begin to step out into the open, you're dead.
Yeah.
I got wasted so many times.
Yep. Especially like the Tommy gun sequence. The first time, like, you come out of the elevator and like the doors open up, there's two guys with Tommy guns. And I was like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Pumped my guts full of lead.
Yeah.
But I do like that. Like, there was one moment, you know, I'm always a big fan of moments in games that are just kind of make you go, oh, that was awesome. I was behind cover and this other guy was behind cover, and I'm sitting there trying to shoot him with the pistol because I didn't have the Tommy gun yet. And I could just see his kind of his ankle hanging out around there. So I was just like, bam, bam, bam. And he falls over backwards. And I'm just like, boop, 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 you know, just that. I just like,
that is one thing like that seemed really effective was like, if you're exposed in cover, you can get shot it'll, you know, they pay attention to where the bullets hit them. I thought that was kind of cool. I did that a couple times. I clipped a guy in the shoulder and he spins out of cover and blah, blah, bam, waste him.
Yeah.
The shotgun is really effective, by the way. If you play through it again.
I don't think I got the shotgun.
I picked up a shotgun and it's really effective.
Okay.
Man, for such a short demo, you guys have been talking a while. Well, I'm just saying.
There's
a
lot of stuff to cover.
I mean, do either of you think you're going to pick it up?
I could see it when it goes about half price for me.
Man. I'd do 20, 25 on it.
Yeah. I could go 30 or around there. Maybe. Yeah. Like I said, it's one of those games like, I don't necessarily need another one of those games right now. I kind of burnt myself out there for a little while.
Yeah.
And I still feel like I've got things that if I were to get something like that now, I wouldn't want to go back to like Red Dead right now. And I still kind of want to do a little more completion than that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's interesting, but not like definitely have to go get this.
Yeah. Not something I have to have.
I do like that. It's very authentic. Like you turn on the radio and you've got like the big bopper and things like that on the radio.
And
you know?
Little, like when you're driving your speedometer, if you're outside of the car, the speedometer view is actually the speedometer from the car. And it, you know, it's got that nice vintage 60s car look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it's pretty cool.
They obviously went through a lot of trouble to nail that.
The dames are dressed like dames and the men are dressed like men.
Yeah. It's like Mad Men with guns. It's pretty cool.
Kind of. Yeah. No Christina Hendricks.
I would play
very
that.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Mad Men with guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're like actually mad. They're angry men.
To play that at work.
So. Yeah, that's about all I have to say. It's decent. It seems like a decent GTA. And bonus points for it being in kind of a cool milieu, if you will.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of... gosh, shit. There's no segue. There's no way to into this.
Zero.
We just have to talk about Tom Clancy's Hawks 2.
Hawks?
Yes, Hawks yes. 2.
Hawks! Hawks!
Which is... I spit upon you, Tom Clancy's Hawks 2.
I do as well.
First things first. Like, the first opening sequence of the game, they show a plane fly by and fire off a few rounds at an A-10 Warthog, and like three or four rounds hit, and the plane goes down. I'm sorry, for a licensed fucking game that's licensed by Boeing and Lockheed Martin, an A-10 is not going to fucking go down like three shots.
It does on insanity mode.
Like, in real life, there have been A-10s that have flown home missing parts of the wing, parts of the tail, one engine's
out.
Parts of the pilot. They're tough fucking planes. They don't go down like bitches. And that's the first thing that happened in this game, and that pissed me off. I already harbored a little bit of borrowed aggression from the first version of the game. I heard was from several reputable sources that it was positively shite. But I, you know, kind of built up my rage and anger for the rest of the game, which is actually well founded after playing it. It's Tom Clancy sucks. Is pretty much what it is.
Oh, see, my review is simply going to be fuck this game. That's pretty much where I was going to leave it.
Oh, I was thinking you might elaborate a little bit, but
I will you might
need to be a little more descriptive.
So. I will be slightly more descriptive. The combat was one thing. It was okay. You know, it's an arcadey, you know, dog fighter.
Fucked.
It's, you know, I'm just saying it's, you'd think we'd be a little further along, but it kind of felt like, you know, the modern day graphic equivalent of like playing Afterburner with a little bit more control, you know, not that you're quite so much on rails like you were in Afterburner, but not much more than that.
What do you mean on rails? It felt like I was flying all over the fucking place.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Afterburners was very much on rails. I mean, you could turn left and right, but you could never slow down.
Still putting you couldn't bank. Yeah.
You know, it was just like you were just flying around shooting mostly. But anyway, so the combat was muddy, not great. It was. Then comes the point that made me just shut the game off, because I think any military, you know, aviator would tell you that there are two things that they have to do that they're the hardest thing to do, and that's land on a carrier. Not take off from a carrier, land on a carrier. Taking off's easy. The other one is midair refueling. So what do they make you do after your first dogfight? Is a midair refueling. And I give it props for attempting to kind of give you like an autopilot guide-in system. Too bad it sucks ass. It's fucking terrible. I was doing much better on my own. Then I get all the way up there, and it at no point tells you. I mean, if I didn't know a little bit, like watch the military channel a little bit, and know where the refueling thing is on these planes.
Yeah, you have to look for that little green dot.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I knew that, but like, if I didn't know this at all, it never explains how you do a midair refueling.
That's
what your distance to the midair refueling is, how you need to approach it. It's just like, hey, go do it, and you have 5 minutes. Oh, also, you're a kilometer away.
Yeah,
you know. So
your kilometer away, it limits your speed.
Yeah.
So you can't zoom up on it.
Right.
And then slow down you want to.
It doesn't limit you getting to the refueling aircraft. It just limits once you make the approach.
Yeah.
So you're a kilometer away. They're coming at you, which means you've got to go past them, turn around and come from behind.
Oh, you're talking about before you actually do the approach. Oh, yeah.
So
you're
a kilometer. And this starts the 5 minute countdown. So you're a kilometer away, they're coming at you, so you have to go past them, bank around, turn around, get in line with the refueling thing, and then guess how close you have to get to actually couple the refueling thing to your plane.
You'd think 0 meters. That would be what you think. But nothing works like it should. That's basically the way I describe this game. Nothing works like it should. Like, the controls are just dumb. You use your triggers for at least the default controls, triggers for speed, and then you use the shoulder buttons for your rudder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
y'all.
Yeah. Well, that y'all. Was your y'all.
Yeah.
But you use the shoulder buttons for your rudder, which I find intensely stupid because it's not an on off thing, and that's what those buttons are. They're on off switches.
Yeah.
The
yeah, so you end up triggers, doing little mini taps.
Yeah, like, you do little mini taps, yeah. And it just plain doesn't work.
Right.
Like anything else, you want the really. So you have to play this. You have to play this game with a fucking flight stick, and I'm not spending $150 on a fucking flight stick.
They should make it Steel Battalion controller compatible.
Yes.
No.
In order to work right,
you need to work on the game first. I think. Probably.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Dude.
Everything is
it's whatever. We're just saying stay the fuck away.
And
from it.
Retarded. I just.
There. You wanted me to go into explanation. There's my explanation.
So.
Fuck this game. That's the bottom line.
So, how much would you pay for Hawks?
Free.
You would have to pay me to play that game. I'm not playing that game.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't know if I'm that sincere, Hawks. But if I got a free copy, I might pop it in.
Of Hawks?
And I would take that free copy and I would open it up and hope to God that there's a manual that explains some of this shit because.
Is it an Ubisoft game?
Yes.
No, then no manual then. Oh. Fuck you.
Oh, yep. That's right. No manuals. Well, okay. But then
no manual online, for Hawks.
And an online version or on disc version or something.
I would have to have a flight stick to play this game, I think. And you would probably have to pay me.
Okay.
Maybe pay me by buying me a flight stick, but I'd have to have that. Before I'd play this game.
And then you ask for like Ace Combat 7 or 8 because it's probably better.
Well, I just go buy it. Okay. You know, go buy Ace Combat 7.
Right.
Trade Tom Clancy in.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Actual Tom Clancy.
Yes.
I'm here to trade Mr. Clancy for
yes. He for hasn't a video written a game. Book in 25 years, so I want to trade him in. He doesn't work anymore.
If it involves money, he'll do it.
Yeah.
For
he'll
sure.
He'll put his name on it. That's what he does. Is he dead?
Nah.
Who?
I thought he Tom might Clancy? Be dead. Tom Clancy. Yeah.
Nah, he's still around. I think he actually sold off his name, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. I think he actually sold it to.
So Tom Clancy apostrophe S is owned by somebody.
Yeah, well,
else
it's just
who is not Tom Clancy.
It just goes to show you that, like, you know, just you can slap his name on it or whatever, but these are still different, you know, studios and teams that are developing these games. Because I mean, Splinter Cell: Conviction is, while true Splinter Cell fans may argue that it's dumbed down or whatever. You know, it's still a well put together game. So.
It's no Hawks.
Right. So.
Two.
Yeah.
God, this game fucking stupid. I love airplanes and aviation and all that crap, and this ruins it. This makes me not like airplanes.
Okay. So did you guys demo anything else?
I got one more.
You got one
more. One more?
Good,
because, man.
Yeah. Quickly.
We've been here a while.
Lara Croft, Guardian of Light. Or I am the Guardian of Light. Some Guardian, there's light, there's being guarded.
Lara Croft Light Guardian.
That Lara Croft game that was on the Summer of Arcade.
Yeah, Tomb Raider.
Lara Light Guardian on Croft. The PS3, we think.
Tomb Raider.
Yes, but they don't call it that. It's because it's not a Tomb Raider game.
Lara Croft and the Tomb Raider of Light.
Lara Croft and the Raider of Tombs.
Basically,
How is it?
It's Diablo meets Smash TV with some puzzle solving. And that's not a slight in of it at all. It's actually pretty
awesome.
That
makes me want to go download it right now.
I know.
Makes me want to download it.
If I hadn't just like bought games aplenty.
Like Shank
and Scott Pilgrim and Trials and
HD.
All these things.
Trials.
I probably would have clicked buy, but it is $15. And like you said, it does not have co-op online yet?
Yeah, I believe it's same couch co-op. Okay. The patch will be free for people that already own it.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think you have to pay for it.
Wait, what? So I should buy it now or something?
I don't know, dude.
I'm going to have to read more about this.
Yeah.
But it's pretty damn
good.
Go
on another more reputable internet site and look it up.
People that do some research. Yeah.
All I know is like when the PS3 version. Yeah, when the
PS3 of 1968.
When the PS3 version comes out, apparently that will have online co-op and they'll be releasing the online co-op.
Gotcha.
DLC/patch/whatever. For the 360 version.
Yeah, it's really good, though. I mean, that's about all I have to say.
It's
pretty damn awesome. And I really, at this point, don't like the Tomb Raider license. But, I mean,
this isn't a Tomb Raider game.
Yeah, honestly,
so
I don't know why.
Go.
I mean, obviously.
This is a Lara Croft
I know game. Why, and I don't know why. There's no reason that they to stick her name or that anything to do with her on this game. It's just solely,
is she in the game?
Yeah, she's one of the two playable
she's
characters.
She's like EA Sports
and the Guardian of Light. But I mean, it could have been.
That's why they stuck her name on it.
It could have been generic thing. You know, it did. There's
nothing. Because they weren't ready to release Uncharted 3.
It's just a cash-in. You know, people know who Lara Croft is. So.
People don't. Yeah, make
but if
video.
They made a good game, who cares?
Yeah,
sounds like they made a good game.
And they're not making these far. Video games for fun. They're making them for profit.
I know. I just don't like.
That unfortunately for the Tom Clancy folks.
But when something is completely unlike your previous series, there's no reason to just lump it in, hoping people go. Because then you're going to get people
Troll
who
Troll 2.
No, you're going to give you an example. You're going to get people who like the Tomb Raider games the way they are, and this mm-hmm. is nothing like that.
Is there any rating of tombs in it?
I was trying to make a point, but apparently we're past that point tonight.
I understand that. I understand your point, but they're just trying to scoop some cash out of the barrel. And if they piss some people off to do it, they're going to do it.
What I was trying to get at is you might entice these people who just go, oh, it's a Tomb Raider game. I like Tomb Raider games, and buy it and go, I don't like this game at all. And then you have people like me, they're like, I don't like the Tomb Raider games, and was pretty much ready to look past this one until I heard a couple of people say, this is pretty good. So then I download it and go, wow, no, this is really good. I really like this. So,
and that's why there are demos, kids.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to get
at. So that you don't buy Tom Clancy's Hawks. They're
basically alienating two different sets of people. Mm-hmm. You know, people who do like Tomb Raider existing probably may not like this game, and people who don't may actually like it. That's all I wanted to say.
Word.
And good we call. Wanted to badger you off.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not pissed.
That's how we do.
No, you're pissed. I can tell.
Let's do some value picks.
Oh, shit.
You got to look up a pick, don't you?
I actually already shut my computer down because I'm ready to go home.
Okay. Maybe BJ won't have a pick.
Yeah.
I have a value pick. Do you have a value pick?
I do.
Go for it. What's yours?
My value pick is available in multiple places in various ways, but because I finally have 100% completed it on the iPad, I feel that I can go ahead and now fully recommend Plants vs. Zombies. Anywhere you can get it. I've not seen a bad iteration of this game. It's now on the 360. It may be.
It's $15 on the 360.
Okay. I've had easily that amount of fun. I mean, granted, I probably only spent $5, $6, $7 on the iPad, but whatever. It's a great game, still a value pick. And if you haven't played it, just give it a try. I mean, I believe you can play it for free online on like the PopCap website, so you can at least get a taste for what it's like.
I might have to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, the Xbox version is actually quite good. If I hadn't invested all the time and effort that I have on the iPad version, I probably would have bought it immediately on the Xbox. But since I feel I'm kind of done with the game, including the ridiculous Survive 40 waves on survival mode. Yeah, so, but yeah, love the game.
Good deal.
That's all I have to say.
All right. I got another one.
Okay.
Resident Evil 5.
Five.
Really good co-op game.
Yes.
Really good online co-op. I like that it lets you keep everything that you've earned in each playthrough. Subsequent playthroughs like earn you cheats that you can say buy infinite ammo on your Magnum or something. And it's Resident Evil, but done better, I think. Even if it is kind of vaguely racist in the way it does a lot of stuff in the game.
Sure,
but, you know.
Maybe.
But still, it's a pretty fun game, and there's some pretty good DLC for it that's actually quite cheap. So,
yeah,
you know, like less than $5 or less, I think, for each of the
just remember,
two
kids,
little episodes.
Zombies have no race or creed.
The more you know. Thank you. Sure. Thank
Which
you,
means you can murder them all indiscriminately.
That's what I was going for, yeah. There's zombicide is not a crime. Genocide, however.
Not yet. Damn the man. I'll have two value picks for you next time.
Okay, fair
enough. Double.
I will bring the thunder. Bring the thunder.
You know what you should recommend?
What?
Co-op.
That's
because
free.
Co-op is free.
Co-op is free.
Can we talk about co-op now?
No.
Co-op's the kind of game for me because it's really fucking hard.
Yes.
It is so hard to do co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could pick the Angry Birds, but you've never played it. So.
Right.
No, Angry
actually,
Birds.
I don't really like it, to be honest with you.
A lot of people love Angry Birds.
Yeah, I don't
dude.
Get it. I don't get the love on that one. So.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Angry Birds.
I'll touch some games within the next till we do the next episode.
Okay.
And then I'll give two value picks.
Because that sounds like a plan.
I thought that I brought the thunder on the demolition.
No, no, that's fair enough.
You did.
So, you know, I worked hard last night for like 4 or 5 hours playing games so I could tell you how much I hated them.
Dude, that is awesome. Work.
Sweet.
And I played through the entire demo of Tom Clancy's Hawks 2, so I deserve a break today.
Yes.
Yeah, you successfully refueled in midair.
I did. I actually achieved that. I was proud.
Apparently is an achievement in itself.
Yes, it should have been.
Cool. That's an achievement, Agent.
So,
let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I think we should get the hell out of here.
Yep. All right. Contact us at noquarters.net is the website. We are at noquartersnet on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I think we're on Facebook. Just search for No Quarters.
Yeah, there ain't shit on there.
Check iTunes, and you can subscribe to us rate us and all that crap on we're the No Quarters. I think we're in video games or something.
Most
like
likely
that. Entertainment.
Seems to be what we talk about. Just of course, check out gamerswithcasts.com.
Yes, we are on the Gamers with Casts network, and we don't mention them enough during the podcast, but they are proud to bring...
To bring
our podcast to a wider audience
them
and their other good casts on there.
Yes,
check out the other casts on the Gamers with Cast network and
some people that
tvgp.tv.
Yeah, some people that talk more than we do because they probably have more time to play games than we do. So
yep,
there you go.
That's why we only bring this to you once every whenever we can do it.
That is a good time frame.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was nice having the Core 3 again. It's been a while since...
Nice chatting with you, gents.
Yeah. No need for Skype. No need for fill-in people.
Yeah. No scabs.
Yeah.
All right.
We ban the scabs.
Yes.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yep.
That sounds great.
All right. I'm The Beach.
I'm Harlow.
And I'm Mackie.
And we're noquarters.net. We'll talk to you later.
Right. Have a nice day.
Play video games!
And play video games.
Or else...